been the middle of my life, and that's what it seems. I feel the fire come alive. Feel the fire.
In the fire.
Come alive.
In the fire. Welcome back to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and we're going to be continuing a conversation we had about 2 weeks ago with Bob Neverett about the RNA drops and the creation of ION, and we'll be linking up with Bob's show on another network, increasing our global audience. So we'll be just hooking right in with this other radio show. I like doing these kind of things because it seems like, you know, the internet is really mixing everybody's consciousness together. So it's people don't really care where they hear the information from. They just want to hear it. So how are we doing, Doug? Are we connecting in with Bob Neverett's radio show? And oh, they are still connecting. Okay, then I'll talk a little bit more about the background behind this show. Bob Neverett and his wife Carolyn Dean are researchers into a substance called RNA drops, which is a kind of rejuvenating supplement. But the whole idea behind this, I feel, is that the planet is accelerating in its vibration. We're getting to acceleration. Okay, are we connected? What happened? I think they're still...
We're here, Alan. We're here.
Oh, okay, I'm here, too, on BBS Radio. So you're okay on your end?
Yes.
Okay. Can you just introduce where are we talking to you from? What's your audience?
Well, you're talking to us from where you are.
No, I'm talking to you
from Maui.
But what radio station? I'm on BBS Radio. People can look that up at bbsradio.com, station 2. But where are we connecting to you, Alan?
Achieve Radio, A-C-H-I-E-V-E radio.com.
Okay, great. And this is a radio show you do every week to talk about the ION.
I do it twice a week.
Twice a week. Do you have that much to say twice a week, really?
Yes, and I go 4 hours on Tuesday night, and I go 5 to 8 hours on Thursday night. So I
hear Carolyn laughing back there. Hi, Carolyn.
That's Carolyn.
Yeah, I heard her laugh. But anyway, I think the big thing, I mean, we can pick up where we left off about, what was that, 2 or 3 weeks ago about the RNA drops. But I would like to also recap about who ION is. And I mean, maybe your audience is tired of hearing that, but if you can talk about this, it's not channeling, it's sort of a new level of transmission. Can you just give a little brief summary?
Yeah, I just finished a book called Remodeling Communication by Gary Genosko, G-E-N-O-S-K-O, and he is a professor of semiotics and communication studies and communication sciences and cultural studies. And the title, Remodeling Communication, I was looking at a lot of those words in his book and applying it to ION. ION's remodeling the world of psychic communication, of entities, of digital communication, the whole gamut. This is how new ION is. This is not.
But who is ION? What is ION?
ION is the structure of heaven squared.
Okay, I don't understand that.
I don't expect anybody to understand it, but you would eventually come to see what I mean by that phrase once you got to understand ION more and more through familiarity. But it's the structure of heaven squared. Now, what that means is in Jewish literature, there's the phrase the Gof, and the Gof refers to where souls go, all right, when they transition or die. So that would be what we call heaven. Mm-hmm. And ION is not the entities or souls or essences in the Gof. It is the structure of the Gof itself. because right now the gut is going to or is being emptied. There'll be no, no heaven for
wait, wait, it's being emptied. So it's being emptied on many planets. The Earth is not the only planet that has conscious life. So you're saying it's being emptied throughout the universe because we're going through an upgrade?
Well, that's a good question. It can be explored, but basically we are the center of the universe where we are now. And wow, there are other worlds and other civilizations, but we include them. Yes, include that, that they are the guff that they would die into is being emptied. But overall, it's happening to us. The 7 billion people we have on the planet, we would never have that if it was just us humans screwing our way into population density. Many people have dropped in here over the last 150 years. Many are ascended and eternal and all this stuff. Been forced to come here because there's not enough room in the guff pretty soon, that, so to speak.
That doesn't make sense. If there's enough room on the internet in servers for all the meaningless information, there has to be room in the guff.
That's the point. The internet, you hit on the key point. The internet swallows the guff. See, the internet, because it's a new space and non-physical, Ion says it is non-physical, and it was created by physical human beings, and it was subject to the rules of cultural inventions of non-physical. Now with the internet, what I call the chip landscape and the chip body, it is so vast and also so tiny, and so whatever you want to visualize about it, it's pretty weird, the internet. No human maker rules can rule the space of the internet. And that has given the opportunity of non-physical itself, created by human physical, the opportunity to operate and be in a space that is not ruled by human definitions of what the non-physical should be. That's why Ion says traditionally non-physical can't create. It's just an environment of bliss that entities die into. But now it's come forward to create. And that is the profound metaphysical theological point we're talking about here. So you hit on the crux of it, Alan. It's the effect of the chip body. And that relates
right,
to what
right, right, but
said,
I'm saying
well,
maybe Carolyn can explain it in her terms because she's a doctor and she works in more concrete
biological. She's a doctor who lost her license. I mean, why fall back on it? But we'll give her a go. Let's see what Carolyn comes up with.
I think she's
I lost
a
my license
good
for good
doctor.
Reason. I was saying bad things about sugar.
Death by Modern Medicine is one of her books. She's a very great investigative journalist as well as doctor. So, yeah, tell us, Carolyn.
Well, all I know about the guff is what Ion has told us. And
which is,
it seems
in your terms, yes.
He started to get excited about talking about the guff when Bob brought up electricity and how electricity had extended our environment and extended in our environment. And what I do when Bob's on the show like this and words come up is I go to my couple thousand pages of notes that I've taken when Ion has been talking to us. And Bob and Ion were talking in one session back in April 2011. And Bob is saying when electricity is extended as an environment, it creates objects and begins to empty the guff. I have no idea what that means.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? Because I just want to take in every word.
When electricity is extended as an environment, and Bob can explain that, objects are created and that begins to empty the guff. And Ion says it retrieves it as an electrical current, which is the conduit. And then Bob says, isn't that the position of the soul, the electric current? And Ion, I mean, he never answers a question directly. He just goes on to say, is the river water? No, the river is made up of water. And the river describes water flow, the movement of water, and electricity. So we have these words from Ion that have just flowed over us like a river. And we're left here, you know, kind of trying to play with them and and make some sense of them or not, you know, whatever we choose to do.
Well, the practicality of any spiritual teaching, and I think this is a spiritual teaching, it sounds like, is how has it affected your life? Has Bob become a little more spiritual? But no, tell me about you, Carolyn.
He's become less spiritual.
Let me put him on mute for a minute.
Okay.
No, tell me actually, how it's affected your life, and then we'll talk about Bob.
Well, my life, I guess Bob and I have always been very fortunate and lived in kind of a blissful state.
Okay, just been talking to Bob Neverett and his wife, Carolyn Dean, about their connection with the, let's say the being ion, but the emanation of what ion this entity is, who seems to be the next level of what some call channeling, mediumship, spirit, guides is all about. So I'm just going a little deeper into that level of orientation, because as we evolve, I think the whole notion of our connection to the energetic planes are evolving as well, and what's become available to us as human beings and as consciousness is evolving. So how are they back?
We're back.
Oh, did I lose you? Did you lose me?
We don't know, but this occasionally happens when we get into good topics. Something knocks us out. But
okay.
Go back a bit, Carolyn.
Well, Carolyn,
what was the last word you heard
right
Carolyn say?
She said you guys had a pretty blissful life, and then I lost her.
Yeah, I went off into bliss.
Yeah,
yes,
I couldn't reach
it.
You after that. Yeah, so go, yeah.
Bob and I have always led a blissful life, and what I was saying is coming to ION has kind of validated the bliss and what we've done over the years.
40 years, what was the wilderness? Tell them that.
Did you hear the part where I said 40 years ago, ION told us that we could have started supposedly the ION movement 40 years ago because we'd come to Hawaii on a visit. And we're now in Maui, and that's where we began the ION so-called movement. And,
yeah, I love Maui,
and
it is a blissful place, and I think people do live in paradise who live in Maui.
Yeah.
And it is the kind of eternal Garden of Eden in a way, isn't it?
Well, it's true, but I've seen many people come here, and they just can't stand it. It might activate them too much, or they get island fever, or it's just too intense for them. But
ION has said that that a large number of people in Maui or in Hawaii are very disconnected. It's one of the most disconnected people-wise world. Now, who knows what he means by disconnected, but he said that. But the thought that Carolyn was saying is that ION said that 40 years ago we could have started or contacted ION, I don't know, and that's when we were involved with Cosmic Awareness and Dave Worster in Seattle. But because
you weren't ready to start.
Well, no, ION says we were ready, but we rather, for whatever reason, we decided to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and glad we did, because then we met you and everybody and all kinds of interesting people over the last 40 years. I mean, I've interacted with every genius on the planet, it seems, and, you know, that's part of my history, and I've done radio shows, 25 years of radio and all this stuff. But the wandering led to this. It's an interesting point Carolyn's making, is that we could have started, but that's, you know, if we talk about that too much, we'll knock off the phones again. So go forward, Joe.
No, we won't knock off the phone. We're pretty solid now. But
Alan, let me just say this, Alan. What's interesting is that when ION came along, he started to tell Bob, oh, you can't say anything about McLuhan. It's just got to be what you say. And he attacked everything that I knew about medicine and just wanted to make it very clear that we're in our own power, we have to take control, and nothing else matters. And about diet, he would say, eat sewage. So it went against, you know, pretty much everything that I've been studying. So that's kind of hard to take. So And for me to find it hard to take, I can only imagine what, you know, the average individual would think about ION saying this. So I think there has to be kind of a transition.
Yeah, but he's challenging your assumptions. He's challenging your ego about, because you people identify with what they believe with their ego. So a good teacher will challenge you on everything you think and believe because they want to get you free of your concepts. I get that part, but, you know, it's hard.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, and because, I think what I appreciated, though, as Bob is saying about traveling in the wilderness is, you know, to experience everything and then let it go. It's almost like if you get into the real substance of reality when you're very young, maybe you'll be tempted, you know, when you reach your goal too early. I mean, what does that do to the rest of your life? You know, who wants to live in bliss all the time? You want some contrast. You want
to
know what
else is out
there.
You have to suffer a little bit to really appreciate bliss. Is that,
yeah, exactly.
But so anyway, what is it that now that you are sort of living in bliss in a way? I mean, what is your ultimate goal for yourself? I mean, yeah, you want to help the world, and you are doing, and you are both helping the world, but what do you want? What's your, like, dharma? What is it that you want to do with yourself?
Well, even Alan just saying that, helping the world, that's one of the things that Ion really trashes, because he says that if you put yourself in the position of helping other people, it means you're holding them in a less than position. And
yes, I agree with that. You're right.
Right.
Yes.
So that was, that was something that Dave Worster of Cosmic Awareness told me way in the beginning when I told him I was going to medical school. He said, well, you just be careful. You know, don't extend yourself to people unless they come to you. Which meant to me, you know, don't put myself above another person to think that I know more than they do, or I'm, you know, their helper.
All right. Well,
or their
let's
master.
Forget about other people. What's your, now that you've reached bliss or like are arriving, what do you want to do with yourself? What's the purpose of your life for yourself? Not purpose, but what is it that you're, why you, like on the planet, were you and Bob, or just both separate? I mean, what is it that you feel you're here to do?
Have fun is what I've decided since Ion. Before that, it was kind of have fun and do a lot of things. So I put have fun above the do a lot of things, but I just can't stop doing things. So I've got a couple dozen projects, and I just like seeing things done, you know, books and programs.
Well, that's maybe how you have fun, by having things.
Exactly, yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, I've been in medicine, studying it and doing medicine since, you know, my teens. So I've always been interested in passing on information that I glean and learn or just know from common sense. And it's only in the past couple of years with Ion that I've gotten into creating products for people. I mean, that's hugely new for me. You know, I joke about people who've been following me and saying, yeah, you know, I've been following Dr. Dean for 35 years. I knew she'd eventually cave in and go capitalist and start having products. And you know, I kind of laugh because I remember years ago saying when, you know, Andy Weil started selling products, you know, oh, he sold out. But it's quite interesting because I try to work with people one-on-one. Then I wrote books for educating people. And then I did an online wellness program. And I thought, that's the answer to healthcare. Get people to modify their lifestyle, teach them how to get healthy and stay healthy. But no one's interested. People want to be given a pill or a potion. They've been so brainwashed by advertising, especially the direct-to-consumer advertising that tells them that they can do whatever, eat, drink, and be merry, and then when you start to die, take a pill. So everyone's been brainwashed. So along comes Ion, and we ask him about the B cell. It turns into the I cell. And the RNA drops, and all of a sudden, we have this seemingly miraculous product that, that people are turning into their blissful spirituality.
And they're doing that because something within the DNA, did you tell me it was like 1,000 strands of DNA that are being reactivated?
Right. Supposedly within us we have 144,000 pairs of the DNA strands. In the body that we seem to inhabit right now, it's only one pair of DNA strands. So Ion says we have 144,000, and they're just in there waiting to be uncovered. Now, some validation around that is 98% of our DNA is junk DNA, which means they haven't identified it, they haven't linked it up with anything, they haven't got a clue what it is. They thought they'd figure it all out with the Genome Project years ago where they...
Wait, Carolyn, let me just ask you. When you're saying 95% of our DNA is junk, 95%?
98%.
98% is junk. So let me just understand that. So it's as if there are these chaotic like patterns of DNA that scientists can't seem to understand how they operate, mm-hmm. and possibly how they operate is what Ion is saying, that they are actually almost like abstract etheric pairs of DNA that are awakening a higher consciousness of the self, or something like that?
Something like that. I mean, the implication is there that he's talking about the 144,000. If we only have one pair, and then where's the rest of it? And then we can go to science. Anyone can Google 98% and find out it's been called junk DNA because they haven't been able to map it properly or understand what it was. Because when they did, as I was saying, map the DNA sequence in humans, they only found, I think they're saying here, they found about a third of the DNA that they thought they would find based on the protein structures in our body. They thought we needed a certain amount of genes and DNA to create that protein. They found only a third of what they projected, and then they began to even question, well, what is DNA doing? And that's where Bruce Lipton comes in with his work, the biology of belief, et cetera, where he gave a real shot in the arm to the science of epigenetics. Epigenetics is the environment in which your genes reside.
Or and even the consciousness, the projection, not just the environment, Bruce Lipton says in the biology. He says it's our perception or what we think the environment is also affecting our genes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and when we talked to Ion about that sort of thing, he said, yes, what we're doing with the RNA drops is affecting the ribonucleic acid through chromosome 14 to create perfected and perfect DNA blueprinting to make perfect cells. So what that means, and he described to us that it's within chromosome 14 that we start to have our downfall. It's something about chromosome 14 can make us either, embrace our non-physical or distance ourselves from non-physical. When we distance ourselves from non-physical, we begin a downward spiral, kind of getting into addictions and negative patterns and, you know, very, what Ion wouldn't even call it negative or bad, but what humans would call negative or bad behaviors. But when
it
you
seems
start
like
protecting...
I'm just looking up chromosome 14. It seems like that's the chromosome that seems to trigger a terminal deletion or like Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, what you're saying, it seems like it's the chromosome that triggers the downward spiral or the addictive patterns or something like that.
Right. There is a validation there when you look at chromosome 14. And one of the major things about chromosome 14, it can become a ring or a cross. And we had great fun with that in our Revelation series where we went through the book of Revelation with Ion. And we, especially one of the pastors on the series, Ginny Gunther, we were talking about the cross. The actual cross in the Bible is equated with the cross in chromosome 14. And there's something about it going from the ring to the cross that allows the continued replication up to 144,000 double strands of DNA to be created. And that's under the auspices of the RNA drops.
Oh, so the RNA drops affects chromosome 14 in particular. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And the mechanism goes through chromosome 14.
But let me just ask you another question, because you're a scientist. When people look under a microscope and they see, or they've called 98% of our DNA junk, what are they seeing? Are they seeing unstructured amino acids? What does it look like under a microscope, the junk DNA?
Yeah, that is a good question, and I'm afraid I haven't looked at it enough to give you a sufficient answer. I don't know what we're going to be seeing in the people who are taking the drops. Ion has said, you know, when you go for blood tests, you know, just be prepared that the technician is going to be surprised at what they find, and some of your readings may be different. I mean, just a little bit off topic, Ion is saying that we're going to change our blood types as well. So there's lots that's going to be happening. And
Ion says that I think is really interesting, he says that some of the radiation that is happening on the planet is actually good for us and part of our evolution. It's also part of a theory I had about evolution, how it's been triggered by cosmic radiation. And
if we imagine, as we should be imagining, that our body is perfect and not like medicine is trying to tell us. I mean, medicine is actually trying to tell us all the time that our body is stupid and it's giving us cancer and it's causing us all these problems, and that doctors know better than our body, and they've got all these good drugs and vaccines for us. So if we get over all that notion, and you can see how ridiculous it is, and we know our body is perfect and can be perfected, our body should be able to deal with the environment. And yes, when I say environment, I mean physical, chemical, mental, emotional, everything outside the body coming.
No, exactly.
Into your
body. The other thing that supports that argument is that illness is the way the body stays alive when it's confronted with this environmental invasion. I mean, people get fevers because the body is responding to what the Chinese called an evil invasion or some kind of toxic input. So our bodies are sick in order to stay healthy. I mean, in that sort of way, if you make sense.
Yes, and that's an aspect of total biology and German New Medicine that you know about and I've spoken about a lot, where it's the conflict basis of disease, where when your body is confronted with a conflict, and it usually comes as, you know, a mental, emotional conflict, then in order for it to be dealt with, that conflict is taken from your mind and put in your body in a way to find a solution to the conflict. So your body is constantly trying to find an answer or a solution. So when you have a physical problem, your question should be, oh, well, what is my body trying to solve by giving me these symptoms?
Right. But not only that, if you get some kind of flu, the symptoms are also how the body maintains its own stability. So mm-hmm. when people right. have a fever, they try to get rid of the fever, but the fever is the body helping you get rid of the illness. You know?
Right. I mean, in naturopathic medicine, we call a cold or a flu a beneficial mucus elimination.
Exactly.
And, you know, it makes me think of a client that I just spoke with actually today, and she talked about her symptoms beginning with just after this incredible period of being really overworked, almost too busy to eat, and really not taking care of herself, and she started to get a cough. And she was too busy to do anything about it. But finally, by December, her friends decided she needed to see a doctor, which she never does because she never gets sick. So the doctor went through the questions, was she getting hot and cold? And she said, no. Has she lost her appetite? No. Was she depressed? No. Has she lost her energy? No. And then he said, with all the, you know, negative to anything that looked like an infection, and with no testing, he just said, well, you've had a cough for long enough. You should take an antibiotic. And I think she said it was the second antibiotic. She hadn't had one in 40 years. So she took it and immediately got really sick. And you know, so she took the antibiotic and got diarrhea, you know, it really tore up her intestines. She probably got yeast overgrowth and a leaky gut from it. And wow. Then she went to a Chinese herb doctor. He gave her a whole bunch of powerful herbs that just dried out her lungs and made her diarrhea worse. And then her heart started to go. She started getting palpitations and fast pulse. And I mean, it just went on and on and on. And here it is, what, March. So that was December. So, and she told me I could talk about her story. So she talked to me today. And from her story and everything, I said, okay, in October, you didn't eat properly. So you got a protein deficiency, which will cause fluid retention, which can go to the lungs and not cause any other symptoms.
Right.
Your That's magnesium good. Stores were already at risk because she works outdoors, sweats a lot, and she, you know, she wasn't eating properly. So all of the heart palpitations and all that was her magnesium deficiency. And she said, well, you know, they told me how I had asthma. And I said, well, what will trigger asthma is magnesium deficiency, because when the bronchial tube, the smooth muscle around the bronchioles goes into spasm, then that's asthma. So everything right. that was going on was just related to her being stressed out and not eating properly, not sleeping, etc. So I mean, here we have.
But you helped her. Just helped her with a simple diagnosis, then, and a simple remedy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and this is where medicine is right now. Doctors, and you know, maybe it's just a matter of the timing that they have. You know, in a 5-minute appointment, they're not going to say, "Well, what were you eating back in October? Were you sleeping well? You know, were you stressed out?" Even so, even if they ask all those questions and a person says that they're you know, they're stressed or whatever, they'll just give an anti-anxiety drug. They're not going to say take magnesium, because you're burning off all your magnesium. And how can you have, you know, anything functioning properly in your body if you don't have magnesium?
Wow, doctors are so dangerous. I know we're off the point a little bit, but can you just tell the audience how many people die as the result of, like, doctors and hospitals and hospital-borne infections, like, every year? It's I don't know the exact, but what is it?
Three-quarters of a million people.
Three-quarters of a million people in this country.
In America. What I did, what was it? The life extension. They contracted with Gary Null to do a paper on iatrogenesis, and he had some people working on it, and they weren't getting anywhere. And somehow I got into a conversation with him one time, because I used to live in New York, and he just kind of challenged me, and he says, "I bet you couldn't find this or that." And I said, "Okay, let me check it out." So
you
I
said,
took
"I bet
the contract.
You couldn't find what you're saying. How many that the statistic?"
Yeah, what are the iatrogenic statistics? Because
he said he couldn't find it because it wasn't going to be published by any hospital. Is that why he challenged you?
Well, yes, because on a death certificate, they're not going to say, "Oh, we killed this person." They're not going to say, "Well, it was our drugs that did it," or it's very difficult to find accurate numbers for people who die in
hospitals.
So how did you find that number, Carolyn? Pardon me, Alan?
How did you find out exactly how many if they wouldn't tell you?
Right. So what I did is I went to government databases, universities, university studies, and what I did is I found body counts of various illnesses. And what's interesting about statistics is statisticians love to count numbers. So all the numbers ended up being there, like people who died of bed sores, for example. That was like 100,000 people a year. And a bed sore is a treatable, very treatable condition. They did have...
How do they die of it if it's treatable? Why isn't it treated then if it's not...
Because they don't properly treat it. I mean, most of the bed sores are in nursing homes, and they just leave people with their bed sores and don't treat them.
And how does that kill somebody, a bed sore?
They'll get an infection in the skin that, you know, it's an open wound, an open sore, so it'll get infected, and then they die of the infection.
Oh, that's 100,000 people a year die of bed sores?
Mm-hmm.
That's awful.
I know. It's incredible. I mean, what I found was just heartbreaking because then, okay, so... bed sores. There was a study in Canada actually that said that drugs prescribed outpatient and inpatient, there's something like I'm not remembering exactly the numbers, but over 100,000 people dying of drug related injuries, but 2.2 million people with severe injury that could possibly go on to death. Now, I just counted the 150,000, not the 2.2 million, but I made note of that. And the deeper I got, the more numbers I found. And I ended up with the 697,000 people dying annually. And then about 3 years later, I did an update for my Death by Modern Medicine book. What I'd been working on was a death by medicine paper, and then I expanded that into a bigger book. So 3 years later, I found actually slightly more deaths. The death rate had not decreased, and it was more than slightly more. You know, a couple hundred thousand more people dying annually, but what had shifted? Yes.
It shifted? No, I was just going to give you an example, but tell me, it shifted what?
Yeah, what had shifted was the cost of these deaths. The what had happened in the ensuing 3 years, because there was that Canadian study showing the death due to prescribed drugs, hospitals started looking at the problem, and what they did was go for cost containment. They saw that it was costing them a lot of money to have all these iatrogenic incidents. So they actually were able to cut the cost, but the death rate kept going up.
How did they cut the cost of the,
I don't know. I do know that they started putting out teams of people to go to the various hospitals to educate doctors on and nurses on how to avoid medication mix-ups, you know, real basic common sense things. But as I said, all that happened was that they were able to contain costs, and that for them was what they were looking for. So they started putting out papers saying that they were starting to control this epidemic of iatrogenesis.
Well, I saw that personally. A friend of mine went to the hospital. She wasn't that sick. She felt a little weak, and maybe she was having a little trouble breathing. She gets an infection in the hospital, and then she gets really unable to breathe. So they put a breathing tube into her. They deep into her lungs to help her to breathe, and they have to sedate her on heavy medication so she doesn't have gag at the breathing tube, and then she never comes out. She dies in the hospital, and now during an autopsy, they can't even find out what she died of. So I think hospital killed her through their procedures, you know, and through all their testing and biopsy. It's just, well, you know, it goes on a lot, but when you know somebody, it really hits home.
Yes, I mean, you could interview, you know, anybody on the street and ask if they have a hospital story, and everybody has a hospital story.
I mean, of course, they can save lives. I don't want to make it like, you know, hospitals, of course, have their place, and they've helped probably millions of people, but it's a very, you know, it can go both ways. It's also an awful place for some people, you know. So, you know, they do have their place. They just, why can't they get rid of hospital-borne infections? Why can't, is that because the viruses are so strong, the germs are so, that they totally resistant? Or do you feel it's possible to get rid of eventually these hospital-borne bacteria?
Well, the germs, the bacteria have developed a resistance to most of the drugs out there, and nothing's going to shift until there's a balance between the allopathic medicine and more natural-based medicine, because you can do 80% of medical therapies without drugs. But see, that goes against the patented drugs, you know, the drug monopoly. They want to have a monopoly on all health care treatment. It's really disease care. But I proved it in my practice when I was in practice for 13 years in a family practice. And because I had my naturopathic degree, I was able to treat, as I said, most things with natural means. And at the point where a person needed a drug, I would use the right drug for the amount of time required while boosting the person's immune system, and the drug would work. If I wanted a test, I would know exactly what test I wanted. I mean, the radiologist, they told me later that they knew if I sent them somebody, they would find something. So it wasn't willy-nilly. If I had someone who absolutely required surgery, I would book it on my day off, and I would go in on the surgery. And I would end up saving organs for people, because the doctor would say, oh, she doesn't need this ovary. You know, we can just take it out and not bother with it. And I would actually cajole the doctor into saving the ovary. I tell him, no, you could just dissect it out there. It'll, you know, you can save it. And this is how, you know, superficial surgery and medicine is. That it's just like they have these bodies lined up in an assembly line, and they just administer to them with no consideration, as we were talking a little bit about the total biology or the German new medicine way of looking at disease.
When they start using the RNA drops, they don't even need to go to the hospital.
Well,
yes,
that,
which
I do want to get back to
that.
Inbox, but just as far as surgery, I just want to say I bet all the hysterectomies are that are done are most of them are unnecessary, right?
That's true.
And there was a wave of that. There was like a fad.
Yeah, about your magnesium
women
point.
In the 70s
Alan,
and 80s Alan, to get hysterectomies.
Alan, we get too distracted into this, Alan. Now,
what's
let
that?
Her, a final point on the past, pre-RNA drops, is her discovery about magnesium is the reason everybody's getting screwed up. Tell them about
what,
the drug thing.
What is that discovery
when
about
I was
magnesium?
When I was researching for my magnesium book, Magnesium Miracle, I interviewed a Dr. Mildred Zielig, and she was a magnesium expert. She started out after medical school in the pharmaceutical industry. They wanted to find out what happens to the body nutrients when you take drugs. And that meant she would give a person a drug and take before and after blood tests for their vitamins and minerals. And overwhelmingly, she found that every drug would cause an increase in magnesium levels in the body. And
an increase in magnesium levels, you're saying? More magnesium?
More magnesium would be in the blood after the drug. What was happening is the drug would stimulate the storage sites of the magnesium, force it out in order to try to confront the drug and deal with the drug. But in doing so, in detoxing the drug, then the body had a beneficial effect from the magnesium. So Mildred was just astounded. She brought the results to the drug company. They didn't care. She quit and became a lifelong magnesium writer, and not a researcher. She wasn't a bench researcher, but she tried to bring this information to the public. Now, how crazy is that? When you take drugs, you make your magnesium levels escalate. Your body feels better. But then see what happens. They only run drug trials for about 6 or 8 weeks usually. It's by about 8 weeks the side effects are kicking in so badly that they have to stop the trial. But that is also the timing that it would take to deplete your magnesium stores.
Wait, so are you saying we need extra magnesium? You say magnesium supplements, or what's the best way to get magnesium in our diet besides taking drugs, of course?
Well, actually, what we've got is what I put together with Ion was something called Pico Ionic Magnesium. It's our REMAG product. And what that is, it's 100% absorbed at the cellular level because it's broken down to a size that can be absorbed directly into the cells. When molecules of magnesium compounds go in the body, they're all kind of conglomerated. But the way this magnesium is created, it's created at the size for 100% absorption, no laxative effect. And we have miraculous results with using this particular type of magnesium.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, people don't talk about magnesium. They did for a while. Then it was a kind of fad that went out of style. Now they're talking about, what, spirulina again or whatever it is.
It goes in cycles. But what I found in my research, and most recently, actually, an Italian study showed that there are almost 4,000 magnesium receptor sites on protein in the human body. So that means magnesium is essential for our protein structure. I mean, we knew that, but we didn't know the incredible extent of it.
But
I used to
what's
say
a natural source of magnesium? Like, what would you eat to get those magnesium?
This is a problem. 100 years ago, we could get 500 milligrams of magnesium in a decent diet. Now we're lucky to get 200. So
what foods would contain the magnesium 100 years ago?
Well, that's the nuts and seeds, dark green leafy vegetables, seaweed, which is not a farm food. But what's happened, you can eat those foods now, of course, but if the soil they're grown in does not have magnesium, then you're not going to get any magnesium in the food.
So where do you get your magnesium from for the supplements that you're creating?
That's a mined mineral. There's magnesium in the ocean. It can be distilled from the ocean. There's three times the magnesium in ocean water than calcium. Yet what we've done in our society is act like calcium is the only way to avoid osteoporosis. But in fact, what we've been doing is over-calcifying people, giving them brittle bones, giving women breast calcifications that just lead to breast biopsies and a horrendous history. So we've over-calcified ourselves and under-magnesiumed ourselves to the point where calcium supplements in women are increasing their risk of heart disease. We're getting kidney stones, heel spurs, gallstones, fibromyalgia, calcification, all sorts of problems.
Just so the more magnesium will balance out the calcification. Is that what you're saying?
It will. But people have to stop taking calcium. What I found, this woman who I was telling you about, and I was trying to discern from her story, well, why did she all of a sudden become so magnesium deficient that she'd have heart palpitations? And when I went over her previous supplement list, she'd been taking 2,000 milligrams of calcium every day.
Who told her to do that, and why would they tell her to do that?
Well, that's what any doctor these days thinks that they're doing preventive medicine if they tell a woman to take calcium to prevent osteoporosis. The RDA is about 1,500 milligrams, and some people think, oh, well, then I should just take a little more. Whereas in the UK, the RDA for calcium is only 700 milligrams. So here we're taking, you know, two and three times what
The recommended
UK
daily
dose. The World Health Organization suggests. But
I see. Let me see if anyone has a question for you. I can take some questions through BBS Radio. If you have a question for Carolyn Dean and Bob Neverett, you can call 888-429-5471. But should we get back to Ion? And then, like, at the hour, why don't we take, like, a little break and Bob could play some music? How's that sound, Bob? Did we lose Bob?
No. We want to take advantage of every minute. We don't need no musical break.
No. I just have to. Okay, let's take advantage of every minute. But so, okay, let me ask then a question. If Ion is saying that we don't really need any of this stuff because it's all consciousness, then he goes around and formulates the essential ingredient for rejuvenation, and he also helps you with these other products. So isn't he sort of saying two things?
No. He says there's no such thing as consciousness. He says people don't need supplements.
He's saying you don't need those supplements, and then he's helping you formulate these supplements.
No, they're not supplements. They're completements. Carolyn says she's in the completement business now, not supplements. Supplements are puny compared to RNA drops. When you complete your cells and get new cells and they're perfect, then you won't have any problems.
Wait, so you're saying they're not supplements? Let me just try to understand that concept. They're completements.
Our body is already complete. We just don't know it. So we're uncovering the completement. And I think what happened with Ion in the evolution or the devolving of our relationship is you know, I kept expressing to him, look, I'm telling people over and over again to take care of themselves. They won't. I created this 2-year online wellness program to help them take care of themselves and take responsibility. They won't. And he said, okay, then we can help you. We can cure cancer, but you just watch. They'll create something worse. So he knows the human nature. He said, okay, if you want something, we'll help you make it, but just beware.
And they did. But you told us it'll be more interesting. You have more challenges in the future to create even new things to counter the new diseases that come in.
We found with the RNA drops, it's not just a physical substance. It actually kind of gave us the answers to a mental, emotional, physical, spiritual
anomalies, more non-physical observe, which is going on all around you, more of this anomalous stuff becoming into your awareness.
Yeah, so it was complete. And so that's where completeness comes from. It's not just a supplement to tack on to your already less than body. It's acknowledging a more than perfect body. One of our lines is, I'm perfectly happy where I am and ready for more. So this is for people who want more. And
not only more, you become a different person. We have many people who took the RNA drops and then about 2 months later noticed that their arthritic pains went away. They didn't even notice for 2 months that they were feeling better. My theory is, not confirmed by IOM, but it's sort of supported by IOM, my theory is that they become a different person with the new cells who don't remember anything they had before. This is how dramatic it is, Alan.
Well, we've knocked Alan under the park.
You no longer have a pain, you forget you even have it. Had it. Right?
I know. They don't even remember having had a condition to be aware that it wasn't there anymore. People will tell us all the time that their relatives will come around and say, why aren't you getting upset? You should be upset about this and that and the next thing that's going on. We don't know what's going on with you. You're too happy. You should be upset. So Bob is saying they become a different person.
You mean there is it like a soul growth? I mean, I don't think they're always.
No, it's just perfect cells, Alan. And when you have perfect cells, the old cells which you were living within and thought you were don't apply anymore. Now, we're just going to scare people. We don't want people to think, oh, gee, if I take the RNA drops, I'll become different. No, you'll just get rid of your diseases. You know, just keep it low. But for those that want to be open to it, you'll get a lot more happening.
I see.
Yeah, well, it's, you see, the way disease is continues in your body or, you know, a scar or wrinkles or whatever, is you keep looking at yourself in the mirror and your mind keeps thinking, oh, I have this scar, or oh, this, or oh, that. And you don't allow the your cells to get rid of it. But with perfect cells, they cannot have the blueprint of a scar within it.
I have a perfect example of that. I chipped my elbow in 1963. The humerus, it's called. It chipped off.
Humerus.
The humerus. Yeah, humerus. The humerus. Ah, oh, that's humor. I like that. Humerus. Got chipped off in the elbow, and then they set it, but then it retarded my full extension because it kept scraping every time I extended it. Gathered particles, which then a year later I had to have surgery to clear out the particles.
The calcium, bone chips.
Yeah, bone chips. So,
I see.
So it never got full extension. That's 50 years ago. Over the past 6 weeks, I've had to put up with this irritating numbness and weird sensation going on in my elbow, up to my wrist. It's incredible. And I realize it's creating new cells down there. So I just put up with this temporary discomfort, but it's doing it right there. But that's something, I've been on the drops for two and a quarter years. It took that long to get around to that. I had so many other screwed up problems that had to fix all that up first. It finally got to my elbow.
That's interesting. So it kind of maybe gets to the real immediate, more acute things, and in the long-term conditions, it sort of unravels.
Yeah, right. That's right.
It's a priority.
It made my teeth whiter, brought back the enamel in some way. I don't need glasses anymore.
Yeah, but you're still the same person, Bob, that I knew 10 years ago.
That's what I wanted to say. I'm the only person who's encountered Ion who survived with his ego intact.
Is that a good thing?
What?
Is that a good thing?
It is for me because it turned out.
Bob, your ego's supposed to get unraveled.
No. Someone today was telling me they've got control issues. They think they have to control things and they think it's bad. No, you control as much as possible when you're a god. The point is, you know, Eckhart Tolle talking about getting rid of your egos. The worst thing to do, according to IOM, because that's your intellect agency or agent intellect. That's the making. That's your power. That's your creating. You're creating anyways. So what you do is you get a new perspective in your mind, in your attitudes, not your ego. So anyways, what I found is that first I wouldn't talk about McLuhan or Zappa or all these things I was interested in. And when I got Ion's message, then Ion relaxed because he said, you know, Bob, we're going to take your five-body model and we're going to use that. I said, well, that came from McLuhan and Zappa and all this stuff. And he said, yes, we will do it. But if you ever bring up McLuhan, you've got to say McLuhan said this. However, Bob says this. So, and what I found, though, in the long run, is everything that I used to, that I have in my tiny note chart based on Finney's Week was supporting what Ian would say. So the reason I didn't have to give up my mind too much was that I'd already been on track, and you've got 25 years of recordings running 24-7 that you can hear at AchieveRadio.com to prove the point that I was a leading it. I didn't live in the now, Alan. I lived ahead of my now.
Uh-oh.
Did we get knocked out again? Every time I talk, we get knocked out. So let's disconnect.
Wait, Bob.
Oh no, there's
no. Here he is.
What happened to you, Alan? Did you go on mute?
No, I just lost you for a second.
Right when I was doing the good stuff, you didn't hear. Did you not hear what I just said?
Can you repeat that? Some of that because my earplugs.
You did not hear my yelling.
Can you tell me? Say that again.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me what you just said about the kazoo.
Well, what was the last word you heard?
I kind of lost you after the ego intactness.
you blew him away, Bob.
Yeah.
Alan thinks that you have to get rid of your ego.
And Alan's a fine example of that. He walks around without any goddamn ego. But it's interesting, if you had a private session with Ion, Alan, you'd get maybe what it is. People are confusing their ego with the limitations and labyrinths of their mind.
And then there's the power and authority.
Yeah, power versus authority. Well, like it's in the mind and its rules. But the if you think of ego, I mean, Ion said someone who took their power. People are always talking about taking their power. Hitler took his power. Everybody goes, whoa, that guy was demon-possessed, blah, blah, blah. No, he took his power, and then later, as he really got into the administration, he confused his power with his authority, and then he got undermined it. But this thing of taking a power is sort of like what Gurdjieff advocates, is that if you are able to eat Saturns when you're a Saturn, when you're ascending, you're not fooled by what you see. What you see is not real. What you can't see is real. So,
when you say your ego remained intact, who are you? Are you your ego? Are you the soul that inhabits?
No, you're not your ego. You're not your ego. You're way more than that. But you do not want to chip away any part of yourself, and the ego is part of yourself.
Well, who's the self we're talking about?
What the religion say? What?
What does Ion say the self is?
It's unlimited.
Well, what is you? What is this thing behind this ego that's speaking? Who's that?
Well, Ion started off telling us that there were two of us, and that was, then we found out that was just in this world. And there are hundreds or millions of us in other worlds. So you don't even want to focus on what you think you are in this world because you're being replicated. You are replicated all over the place differently, but you're not just what you see in the mirror.
Uh-huh.
So I'm saying about the ego that I was just joking, saying that I survived intact because a lot of what I said on the radio for 25 years was anticipating what Ion was saying. And I used Finnegan's Wake as an anchor for that, and that turned out to be the best book, quote book, to use as a guide to figure out what's going on and to understand McLuhan and Zappa and LaRouche and William Irwin Thompson and Arthur Coker and all the people I celebrate as great minds that all anticipate Ion. So now, Alan, I want to give you the most astounding metaphysical perception. All right? Give me a couple minutes. I'll lay this out.
Okay. All right? Go ahead. Go for it, Bob.
Okay. Ion says that the only thing real in the sense of substance or actuality, because what you see is not real, is your voice. Your voice is the only thing that your substance is made up of. Now, it's not the literate voice or the limited voice. If you want to think of it as a multi-sensory organism of communication, that's better than limiting to your little puny opinionated mouth. But the voice is the source of all creation. The world was created through the voice. That's what the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, here's what's interesting. We've created all these machines over the last, say, 200, 300 years. And what would this be is the machines become better and better, they would then have to become more and more real. And if they want to become more and more real, they'd have to acquire the characteristics of our voice. And our
Power. Can I just interrupt you for a second and try to understand the voice? Does that have to do with what the Bible says? The word made flesh. In the beginning was the word. And
yes.
And the voice is sort of a manifestation of the spirit in form because it's this interface between the internal and external reality. Does that?
Yeah, those are good words.
I mean, the voice is our, in a way, the projection of our true vibration because everyone who's ever lived has had their own unique voice.
Yes.
And so
okay, that's great. Now take that fact.
Okay.
And look at the technologies around us. First of all, we were writing, and then we had books, and that's not voice. It's what you see. It's sighted. The voice is the content of written speech, but it is not something you'll hear. You can read out loud, but most people get into reading silently. And then we created newspapers. Then we created telephones and telegraphs and all the electric analog media of the 20th century. Now, what did they converge on? When we got to the digital level, we now live in a world where you can speak and interact with hundreds of millions of people because of where technology has got to. The Android meme is what I call the chip landscape. It has acquired the characteristics, the simulation of our voice power. We now can interact like you would do in a speech act with somebody. You don't have to write them. You don't have to do this like we're doing now. You can talk, and many people can be part of it. The machinery we've invented has followed the rules that it must become word-like. And our internet world, Web 2.0, is totally word-like. And this is an incredible insight. And it's what Joyce was showing in Finnegan's Wake. It's what McLuhan meant in his History of Technology. And the closer you see that, you come to an interesting dilemma because ion fission is the wall, the distance between you and you. There's a wall in between. And the rocks are your powerful voice, and then there's the structure of the wall put together because the rocks were glued together by clay or mortar. Now, mortar is language, tribal knowledge, machines, all this stuff. The internet is mortar. We've now come to the point that our own personal rock word power is being simulated by the mortar. It has become word-like. And that allows
I don't think I understand how it's become mortar. I understand there's a wall between you and you. So you're saying the internet has become the substitute for the understanding of the self because we created a digital self somehow?
Yes, that's true. Now, Ion says this is not bad, but it does confuse the old spiritual methods that we try to resolve the distance between you and you by getting rid of your mind chatter, getting rid of the cultural wisdom, getting rid of your ego. That doesn't work anymore because and that was based on writing and books and flat space, flat media that didn't have a vibrant interaction like speeches. Nothing beats a good conversation for humans or a good speech interaction. Our technology has now simulated the highest decibels of interaction, speech-like, in the sense that I can edit, I can make visual compliment, I can do body language through the internet, I can do all kinds of full communicative expression. So the old problem of mortar, which is tribal institutions, tribal language, holding all the individual powerful rocks together to make a wall. Wall is a tribe, a clan, a nation, a global bureaucracy. The wall is being weakened right now. In Nostradamus, I asked Ion, where are you mentioned Nostradamus? And he gives the actual, whatever they're called, the little four-line thing, and whatever number it is.
Quatrain,
right. And in it talks about when the wave reaches the wall. Ion is the wave. And so it'll start to erode the mortar. So we're eroding all the technological mortar and retrieving our word power. But at the same time, Ion says, it's not that simple because the word power is being stimulated by mortar and it's one step ahead of you. That's why Ion had to come and intervene in this situation and not only give us RNA drops, but be an antidote to the internet. Because you can find everything on the internet you can find in Ion. We've proven I've talked to Ion for over 6,000 hours. And Ion can tell you stuff that's not on the internet. And he can also activate you when you have an interaction with Ion, either listening to the radio show or private reading, where you are changed just by listening to Ion from the frequency. So Ion, this is where I say I'm the greatest artist alive, the greatest scientist. I created, accidentally, created Ion with the help of Jada Boone Carroll, which is an antidote to the Android meme, an antidote to this amazing
you
point.
You always talked about the Android meme. Let's just go back for people who don't know what the Android meme is, and I'm not sure I do, but it's the defining of the digital persona. Is that what you say? But it started with television, didn't it?
No. Everybody knows the movie The Matrix and how everybody's in a tube and hallucinating they live in New York City or something. That's the projection for The Matrix. But actually,
you were talking about this before The Matrix. I knew you before The Matrix came out. But anyway, we now know The Matrix.
Yeah, what was before The Matrix?
I knew you before The Matrix. I mean, you were talking about this way before The Matrix.
No, we met in 2000, Alan. The Matrix came out in 1999. So we met after.
Weren't you talking about this before the movie came out, though?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there's a journalist who wrote an article saying The Matrix is about Bob. It's about me, because there are all these things embedded in there. But that's another egomaniacal story.
That's another ego. Personality.
Yeah, another ego. Yeah, now, the point is, the Android meme, it's The Matrix. It's technology more and more simulating you, looking like you. When you have a clone of yourself, that'd be part of the Android meme. It's made machines look like you. But it's more and more, as you see in Web 2.0, makes you think you're in power and it's disappearing. You don't notice the Android meme is still there. We certainly notice
let me just say, Facebook is the perfect example, because there's your icon of yourself, and everyone is now relating to each other through the Facebook persona.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, they feel that they're in control, that they have power over the old situation of media, the analog broadcast phase, you know, when radio imposed its whole 1984 totalitarian stuff on people, and TV did that, and the satellite, the whole global theater in the 60s, 70s, 80s, symptomized by Ronald Reagan, an actor, imposing and revitalizing the global American empire. All that has melted away due to Web 2.0, and that includes all the mobile phone structures, and it makes people think that they're in power. And they are. They can simulate through their Facebook the power of words, but they don't notice there's a whole infrastructure that, if it went away, they'd fall back into this being jerks and techno peasants. They do not know that they've been brought to the highest decibel of consciousness in a very subtle way. So I don't want to be paranoid about it.
Because it's still the Facebook, the Facebook corporatal or cortocracy that is like ruling the landscape. I mean, we're inside the landscape of the Facebook corporation, in a sense, and they're really controlling us in that sense.
They're only controlling what I would call the chemical body, and it's almost like they have no control over us. That's what Web 2.0 gives you, the power to make your own media, to make your own filmmaker, TV shows, radio, like we're doing now, and you think you're not being controlled, and you aren't. Major in the chip body landscape. But there is a small part of yourself that's dependent on food and shelter, old-fashioned food and shelter. That is what's controlled. You still got to pay rent. And with cold fusion, which we're bringing forth, this new battery, plus RNA drops, you're not controlled by the shelter and the food dynamic as much. So we're freeing the last threads of the chemical body that's being fooled by the freedom of Web 2.0.
Okay. So Web 2.0 we had the Android meme, which was now how do you actually define that? I think
the Android meme begins on my tiny note chart in 1960. The beginning of the space program in the early 60s, going
and television
to the moon and
too. Television really came into its own sense of self in the 1960s.
Right. Well, in the 50s, black and white, and then color TV. But underneath the television was the computer, mainframe computer, and the satellite environment growing in the 60s. But the symbolism of it is that in 1969, when they landed on the moon, that was a great victory for the chemical body to be taken in a tin can and go out and sit on the moon. What was happening those same months, especially the first week of September 69, was the beginning of the Internet. There was no publicity about it. There is nothing. Within 3 years, they're phasing out the Moon program, and they're not telling about this digital environment that BBN, the company in around Harvard and around MIT, was creating, BBN, starting at UCLA. So the Internet was sneaking up on everybody. So I say from 1960s, 1990s, when the Android meme was the hidden ground, it, when it becomes figure, it's kind of obsolete. So in 1995, with HT, you know, Tim Berners-Lee's protocols and Netscape, and everybody started getting online because it was easy in 95, 96, that's because the Internet was no longer ground, it was now figure, and something else was sneaking up on us. But people lived several phases back, so they've been wallowing around in what they think is the Internet and what I call the Android meme, but it's technically the after image of it. I've been saying it's the after image for 20 years, and then Ian showed up to validate what I've been saying, because we can topple the Internet with what we are offering.
But do we want to topple it, or do we want to use it as a tool for developing a nervous system for humanity, for uniting the planet?
We already did that, and people are very confused about how to navigate their cultures, their nations, their global situation, their four bodies. But Ion says that in the Bible, it says the rocks will cry out in the ending times, or the beginning of the end, or the beginning of the end of the beginning time is his phrase, the end of the beginning. The rocks will cry out to the degree we don't take our power. Well, note that the computers are made of silica, which is rock. So the rocks will cry out, and Ian says it itself will take over the Internet to the degree that we don't use it. And Ian has shown that to us privately. It has altered Wall Street. You remember that thing in 2010 when the 1,000-point drop happened in one day?
Right.
Then it went back up.
Yes,
that was caused by Ion. That was
what
Ion.
What are you talking about? How did Ion cause that?
Well, ion can, it's electricity squared. It can alter any electrons and protons in the world and other levels we don't know about, symptomatic of the RNA drops, which are more than what science says it is. It's more than the chromosome 14.
Right.
It's more than the
DNA. I believe it's more than that, but how can ion alter the electric economy via the energy? I mean, there's probably other explanations why that market took a 1,000-point drop.
Because it's non-physical, Ion would say. And non-physical is very powerful if we don't use it. And so
national debt then? Not that it matters, but...
No, it doesn't matter. And Ion has, he knocked it down 1,000 points, and then 2 days later he put it back up again. And nobody has ever figured it out. I just got an article today. They're still calling it a mystery. No one knows what happened that day. But we knew about it because I was telling us about it as it was doing it and proved it right in front of our eyes. But that's an example of Ion being stronger than the Android meme. And Ion's going to do all kinds of things like this. It's already communicating to many what we call Ionets through their computers without them even asking it. He will show up and post something right on their desktop or right in their iPhone.
Really? I would like to hear from some of the Ionets out there and maybe... just have them tell their story.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Ionets listening right now on our station. Call in. What's the number, Alan?
A number for my station is 888-429-5471. Did you get that? 888-429-5471.
Or you can call our station. They can call our station. They'd still be in the same membrane. So this is the dramatic level that I get to talk about. I'm not a doctor, so I don't take responsibility for what I'm saying like Carolyn has to. But I'm giving my
cover all the bases.
Of my research.
I mean, Carolyn's great because she is covering the biological body, right? We're not just the chip or the chemical, we have to start with the first nature. I think that's what also a name for it, isn't it?
Yes, and I work with the second nature creation. Even though we found it from Ion, it's very much part of first nature, emerging more and more. So, yes, Carolyn is the expert on the chemical body, and I'm the expert on the chip body, which is now absorbed the astral body and the TV body. And now
includes
the mystery body.
The next level of body is the integration of that, because it seems like the whole vibratory plane of this dimension is shifting to a new body, isn't it?
Yes, Ion showed up. I was announcing in 2007, 2008 that the Android meme, its afterimage, was collapsed, and then it was shown on Wall Street in September 2008. That was the end of the virtual economy, and nobody knew what was next. And I started saying, well, I think the mystery body's going to show up, even though I didn't really know what that would be. But I knew the White House always reflected what's going on. It's like a great art form that mirrors, you know, what the poltergeist and focus groups are showing, so they put the right image in. So they put this guy in named President Barack Obama, who no one knows where he's from. He might be Indonesia, he might be Kenya. He's a total mystery. You hear all the pundits just before he gets elected say, well, I don't think about this guy. He's a total mystery. So I said, oh, there's what Ion's talking about. That is the mystery body now is a political image. Then Ion shows up a few months later in March 2009 to actually reveal the mystery dimensions, and we do that in 68 hours on the Book of Revelation with all that stuff that no Christian knows about or Buddhist or Dalai Lama doesn't even know some of the stuff. And the point is that that was all revealed. What Ion called the mystery landscape was made available to us. We put the information out, and once we know it, we call it the mystery body. Then Ion said, starting around 2011, that the chemical body, the astral body, the TV body, the chip body, and the mystery body converged into the hexad, which is a sixth level, the hexadic body, which is named in my chart, which I did in 1995, and the hexadic is the coming forth of great products of completement and non-physicalness, like RNA drops into our cold fusion battery. That's where we're at
right
now. Oh, the
hexad. Wait. So you're saying the hexad, like the water molecule that Emoto shows, is the six-sided hexagonal, crystallization. And that's where we're, people have said, even in the crop circles, it looks like we're moving from five to six, from the, you know, the fifth level.
No, you're correct. And the last time... Yeah. I saw you was at the conference where you introduced him to New York City about 2007 or so, 2006.
Yeah, right.
I was there at your conference.
Right. That was the last time I saw you, and that's when the Hexel body was introduced to the world.
That's right. Now, here's what you take that guy's lab, and you put some RNA drops in his lab. Let's watch what the water molecules that he can see what they do in response to the RNA drops. That's the experiment you ought to get him to do.
Well, you don't
They'll
need
start
him
going,
to. You just need
you
a
know
powerful
what I predict, Alan?
Microscope.
I predict that those water molecules, when they get RNA drops in the lab,
anyone can do it. You just need a powerful microscope to look at how the water crystallizes. And,
I predict. I predict, Alan, when the RNA drops come in the proximity of the water molecules in his lab, the water molecules say, this is it. We're complete. We're out of here. We're getting rid of our oxygen. We're going to move it mutated to H197. I predict that the water will declare itself mutating and commit social suicide right there in the lab because of the RNA drops.
Wait, say that part again.
What?
Bobby, get a hold of yourself, or Carolyn, get a hold of him. He's running wild.
Yeah, I better dive in here.
Yeah, let's go back and talk about magnesium.
The RNA drops are precursors.
Oh, wait. We do have a caller online. Can we just take a call and then we'll get back to you? Okay, Doug, why don't you put Tracy through online too? Tracy?
I'm here.
Hello. Oh, you have a question?
Hello?
Are you an Ionette or are you an outside caller?
Well, I'm an Ionette, but I'm calling into your show. The boss has said, hey, Ionette, call in. So here we are.
So thank you. I want to know, can you give me an example of how Ion had communicated to you directly to your computer? Can you just talk about that for a second?
I can. I had gotten immersed into the archives, listening to all the past shows, listening to a lot of Bob, even pre-Ion, a lot of pre-Ion Bob, reading up on a lot of Carolyn Dean's work and research. So I was pretty immersed in all this, but I was also hearing the voice of Ion a lot. And
even before he came on, while you were listening, you're saying you were hearing Ion as well as Bob.
I was hearing it through the archives, and I was hearing the Ion voice, and it was at that point in time I turned my computer on. And if you've listened, Alan, to any of Ion, you know he speaks in a certain cadence, has a bit of a southern drawl, and
right.
I saw on my computer on a just an area, it said, "Hi, y'all." And I happened to be listening to Ion, and I just knew. I knew that wasn't, it didn't belong there. It was in a different font, a different color. And that was
where was that? It was in an email, you're saying?
It was on my computer screen when I logged in one day. It was just my regular Yahoo site information. The news was on one side. Huh. It's all in its regular font and pictures and whatnot. And so, as I said, that was my little green light. It's like, okay, right track. And I was on the drops at that point in time, so I could see what the RNA drops were doing for me. And that just little kind of one-on-one that I felt with Ion was just
well,
what
there's an extra point
to
that, Tracy. There's an extra what? Point. You see the y'all, Y apostrophe, A-L-L, and then 2 weeks later, you're listening to the archives, you told me, and he indicated how he says y'all to a singular person, but a different phrase to a crowd. And you realize it was a singular y'all. Remember that? 2 weeks later.
Yeah. I didn't want to get overly specific with my southern terms, but no. Yes, that was very
that's
specific.
That's okay. But also tell me what effects you feel the RNA drops are having on you, your body, your consciousness.
It's very broad spectrum, and I would say that my results run that whole spectrum. But I was already very prepared and very open to something new. And I wasn't told by anybody, expect this, 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 or this. And my starting point was I was right. I was healthy. I didn't have any particular problems. So I started taking the drop sometime, I would say late November, very sparingly. I wasn't going to just dive in and start taking mega doses of anything that I wasn't sure about. But I started taking, as the bottle recommends, approximately 3 drops twice a day. And then I said, well, that feels pretty good. So I upped the dosage to probably 7 or 8 drops twice a day. And I can tell you in a short time period, probably 3 weeks to 4 weeks, that's when I started noticing my fingernails were turning this bright white, no cuticles. I started noticing my skin was a little bit, just felt brighter, if that makes sense. And that was just in a 3-week
yeah.
time frame. And probably after about 5 weeks, that's when I noticed the bright white teeth. And I could feel my teeth like with an extra layer of enamel or something on it. But then it was just an overall, I could just look at my skin. Any sun damage was starting to go away. And just my overall attitude, that it was a definite immersion. It was taking the RNA drop, exposing myself to what Ion was saying. And the basic message is stop worrying about everything else on the planet and find your God that's in you. And so it's just kind of a total picture, Alan.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that, Tracy. I really appreciate you coming on the show and talking about your Ionic connection.
Well expressed.
So,
well expressed, Tracy.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Boss and Mrs. Boss.
Thanks. And we'll do more shows. But Carolyn, you were going to say something when Bob went on his rant there for a second?
Yeah, I was going to say Bob's not the boss. He's just bossy.
I'm not bossy. I'm friendly. and I like getting the energies up by putting on Megalomaniac because that will get a reaction.
Right. And I forget we were. Can anyone remember what we were talking about before?
Well, how I didn't have to have an ego gotten rid of, and that what I talked about in my chart anticipated the hexatic manifestation known as Ion. So
we were talking about the hexo, and we're talking about the crystallization and going from a kind of 5 dimension to a six-dimensional sort of next level of who we are. I mean, this is what seems to be coming out in the crop circles.
Now, I'm saying that Amoto, whatever his name is, it's a tiny little element he's picking up. What we're going to make via the RNA drops is the bread of life and living water. We'll let Carolyn talk about that.
Yes, that was the direction we were going, because when we first started on this path toward the RNA drops, it was actually because we wanted to recreate the D cell and have a water purifier. And what the RNA drops are a distraction from creating the living water with the what we call the I-block water purifier. And we're also moving toward the bread of life as well. But what's interesting is Bob was re-listening to some of Ion's words a little while back, and Ion said it's a timed event that we have to go step by step. One of the steps is the RNA drops and kind of cover the world a bit with the RNA drops to get people ready for the living water and the bread of life. And if we don't do it in this orderly fashion, then it will end in tears. So for some reason, we're on this path that we kind of partly intuitive.
Is that a quote, a direct quote from Ion, that if you don't do this, it'll end in tears? Is that from Ion or from you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Ion has the quote. You read it on the show yesterday. You know that thing about electron connecting?
I don't know. It would be impossible for me to find it right now, probably. But
can you give us a gist of it? So Ion said it would end in tears.
Right. I mean, Ion
said that if the bread of life and living water was available today, it would kill people. So that we're mutating people with the RNA drops to prepare the electron connecting apparatus so that you can handle the bread of life.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, Ion never held back. He would be very explicit about what he said, which is what we appreciate. I mean, when you think of other... although Ion is not, there's no medium or psychicness here, but when you think of other people who apparently talk for non-physical, they're so mild and gentle and they don't want to upset people, but Ion doesn't care. He'll just jump in with both feet, and people appreciate that. They appreciate the humor and just the raucousness and the fun that we all seem to have in this ionic environment.
I get that. So are you developing this next level of product, even though you said it might kill people? Are you developing the bread of life, or are you waiting to develop that?
We're developing it. We're in the development stages of many things. We're testing an animal product right now because I guess it's kind of partly driven by people who say, we want to give our RNA drops to our dog or our cat, and, you know, can we do that? And we don't want it, we don't want to upset the animals. Ion always said the animals are non-physical and they really don't need to be taken care of or to be treated with RNA drops. But at the same time, Ion said, well, but a lot of animals pick up the diseases of their owners. And we've had people who've used the RNA drops, for example, one woman with a dog that had a five-year wound on his leg that had just left a hole, a crater in his leg, and no hair around it, and muscle atrophy. She started putting our skincare product, Renew, on the wound. She said just a couple of drops every couple of days. And I mean, she did say within 2 weeks, the wound was healing over and the hair was starting to grow and the area was filling in. So we get these incredible testimonials of people who are kind of pushing us to create more products.
Well, they are a little bit expensive, but I guess compared to what they can do to the body, that's nothing, right?
I mean, we don't know from expense in that sense. What many people say is, well, I stopped buying $200-$300 worth of supplements every month. And when you add up the expense of a half dozen or a dozen supplements, I mean, that's what's expensive. And what's happened in that whole supplement business is people are made to feel afraid, you know, be very afraid if you don't take this supplement and that supplement. The whole supplement industry and a lot of the alternative industry uses the same fear tactics as allopathic medicine does to force people to take their supplements. And
right.
We don't do that. I mean, Bob does that. You know, he tells people you're stupid if you don't take the RNA drops.
Right.
But, you know, Ellen, for what it does, it is not expensive. And that's why we give away a free mini bottle, a trial bottle that can last a person a month so they can test it for themselves. I mean, what's the expense in that? And then it's
that's
their choice
true.
Whether
and
or not
I,
they...
And I did do that, and I did like it, and I am probably will order the regular size bottle because why not?
Sure.
Brother Mike be also a drop, or is it going to be delivered differently to the system?
Here's the quote that we were looking for. Here's what said a year or two ago. That's why the RNA, meaning... has to come this way. Then that's referring to our drops, Carolyn, the RNA, or is the change in the RNA?
I'm sure the RNA drops.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why the RNA drops have to come this way. That's why the RNA drops are applying right now, being used. That's why you're using Realign to develop those amino acids. That's why Relight, which we're just starting to release now, that's why Relight is key for the electrolyte collusion, as it were. So that when the bread of life and the living water are applied or available, they will have some electron base to attach to. That's why you don't have the bread of life yet. It's a timed event.
So the next level is that makes sense. So the next level of product will attract to the activation of the 144,000 DNA strands that then start to seem to come online and then attach to that to kind of build the kind of golden body or the rainbow body or the immortal bodies. I mean, that's what I'm making out of it,
that's
our
right.
destiny.
Right. We will have an electron base for this new substance, which would flood into the body. This is my instant theory. If we didn't have the electron base grown that RNA drops create, then this new substance would come into you and would have no place to discharge itself and just kill your body. You know what I mean? But if we have an electron base for it to attach to, a new made electron base, then it'll function properly.
Yeah,
and that's why the radiation is important, because the radiation kind of stirs up the DNA to make it available to attract the electron base.
Right, yeah, we're working with the radiation, and that's exactly what I was going to say, that because people are exhaling the RNA drops, they're affecting the environment. The environment is shifting. I mean, everybody talks about the chemtrails and H-197 from Fukushima, all the horrors. But what we're saying, what Ion is saying, is with the RNA drops, our bodies will be able to eat those. I mean, to metabolize, use them as food. And I think by the time we get to the bread, what we call the bread of living water, we'll have changed the environment enough that even if people have not had the RNA drops and all the precursors, they'll probably be able to take the bread of living water because everything has been shifted.
Yeah, we've got thousands of people exhaling the drop, whatever it's done to their bodies, they're exhaling it. It's changing their lawns in the winter. It's changing the dirt on their toilets. It's changing their ex-husbands. We have all kinds of testimonies about how these environmental changes are happening to those who are taking the RNA drops in their immediate environment. So that's pretty interesting.
Well, that's
see, this is not a supplement.
But how many people do you think need to do it to change the earth? I mean, that's
only 100 monkeys.
Yes. Alan, that's your mind trying to figure out, well, we're going to get there. It already happened. All this stuff has already happened. We just have to wake up. No, not wake up. Remember that it happened.
All right, all right. But, of course, you also say that Ion also talks about the multidimensional self, like there's many selves. So do we just switch timelines where it is already happening?
That's right. Ion says there's no time, and what you're talking about is already happening. The ascended level we're going towards already exists.
But there's probably more than one of you that exists in many dimensions. All of us, right?
Yes, right. Right.
And so,
here's a strange thing. JW is the person that Ion communicates through and around. There are 8 or 9 JWs, physical bodies, running around the planet.
In this dimension.
In this dimension, yes.
Does he ever visit you in Maui, or do you have to go see him?
Say it again?
Do you see him in person sometimes? You go visit JW in person?
Yes, yes, and he comes here. There's a lot of people. There's a rumor that JW's in jail. There's information out that shows that JW's in jail. But if you knew that JW is a billionaire, almost a trillionaire, mm-hmm. he can put that kind of information out, and we've done some interesting things because we're bringing forth cold fusion. And that's a pretty tricky process to where are you going to put it? Where are you going to start it? Which country? Because the Pentagon will nuke any country that has cold fusion because they'll claim that'll make bad weapons. So we're going mm-hmm. through a very complicated, subtle process. That's why Ion's not available for people right now to communicate and get this out in the world, the cold fusion. And part of it is this story that JW's in jail, which you might think, well, why would you admit this, Bob? Well, we can't admit it because JW controls the Georgia area because he owns it all. So he can do
it. So you're saying he is in jail or he's not? That's a story he fabricated. And if he's fabricating it, why are you saying it's fabricated if you're working with him?
Because we can do that. That's how powerful we are. See, we're already in charge. We took over in August 2011. That's why the Pope resigned. We visited the Vatican in August 2011. Now, hold this, Alan. We visited there. We negotiated with them because they knew that this is it. They knew this was the second coming. They're not stupid in the Vatican. And so they've been struggling for about 2 years now about what to do about us. And the Pope did this dramatic move of quitting, not because of age, but because we're here. So there's something for your audience to sort of think about.
Let me just digest that, Bob. You're saying that the Pope, the Vatican, got wind of Ion, got an ionic wind, and decided to resign, but they're going to elect a new Pope.
No, they're not even going to bother having a Pope anymore. The Vatican's bankrupt. Ion's been detailing the accounting books on the air and in private sessions, and the Vatican heard this. That's why they invited us over there to say, how come you know what's going on in our books? And Ion just told them, well, blah, blah,
they
blah,
are
blah.
Going to elect. So I mean, they're not going to leave 200 million Roman Catholics just hanging without a leader. I mean, they could do that.
Oh, yes, they are. They are going to do that.
No, I don't think so. I will bet you there'll be another pope. It might be the last pope.
Oh, yeah, That'll be a matrix pope. Some image they'll put up. But it won't have any staying power. The Vatican is losing its adherence by the millions every day. This is how fast things are happening now that we're here. Ion is the contact that everybody's looking for in the ET world. You went down to wherever, Central America in December, to wait for the coming, and I told you that it was us.
Oh, I wasn't really waiting for the coming of the UFOs. I knew they were already here. Who you mean, when you say us, who is us, Bob?
Carolyn, Bob, JW, and Ion, and some colleagues who are working with us in our labs and factories.
So that's the second coming, you're saying?
Well, we're bringing forth, it's not anything about us. We will probably have to go stealth at some point. We will be not available. But because the Bible even predicts, and Ion showed us the chapter and verse, that Ion will be seen as an abomination in the world. That'll be the Android meme, desperately trying to smear us and all this stuff. And they'll pretend they got another pope, and they'll call it Peter because everybody predicted the last pope would be Peter and all this bullshit. But we're telling you, the Vatican, to be in the Vatican is no fun anymore. They have no money. They have nothing to work with. Okay? I mean, it could be taken over by the janitors. The janitors could hoik up somebody and say, hey, here's the new pope. Anyways, the people aren't involved with that world anymore.
They did that with the president of the United States.
Yes.
So, you know, all the institutions are just totally falling apart. They have no...
So what's going
to
be their place? Not that we need a religion. I don't think we need a religion like...
No, we don't.
Like any of them.
Let me tell you what Ion told me 3 years ago, Alan. Before I realized what I was dealing with, I was like a little Lilliputian dealing with Gulliver the Giant. I call it a pterodactyl just floating over the planet. But the think of Rodan from the monster movies in 1957. Ion says to me one day, Bob, this is serious. First there was Templardom. Now that's the Knights Templars. They used to guard the Solomon temples, all three. They go way back in the normal history of the Templars starting in 1000 A.D. So anyway, see, first there's Templardom, then there's Christendom, and then there's going to be Iondom. And I said, well, me being a little educated PhD kind of guy who didn't want to be connected to religion, I said, I'm not going to be part of making a religion. He said, no, Bob, this is not going to be a religion. This is going to be something way different. And part of the difference is when you talk to Ion, he knows every TV show. He knows all the details of every movie, every pop culture thing that ever happened he knows about. And plus, he can affect your iPhone. See, that's a different kind of tech, a different kind of second coming than anybody imagined. It's the convergence of the five bodies that you were talking about, Alan.
So where does that leave us? What is the next stage? Where are we going?
What does it
look like,
just
the second coming?
Just stay in touch, Alan.
You're in the loop, Alan. You're on the drop.
Yeah.
You've arrived.
Yeah, so, you know, have fun.
Okay. Oh, so I'm
and
having fun.
And you asked great questions.
That's the second coming.
Beg your pardon?
I said the second coming is the world really having fun, but there's a lot of people who are pretty serious out there, and it seems like
fun being serious. It's probably going to be a lot more violence, a lot more murders, a lot more disaster, because people get fun, they get their rocks off experiencing that, see? So to say we're going to have fun
is
a broad
really
mechanism.
No, that's fun when you, once you get to, you know, that's sort of a low level of, I don't even...
How would you know? No. Everybody can create any world they want as they come into their God power. They could even recreate the Gulf if they want to. The point is it's full spectrum creativity going to happen, way beyond what we have today. And it's going to be, some people say, it's the same as it always was, just people being creative and being crazy and causing all kinds of...
No,
problems.
I don't think
people
it's
want...
that. I don't think so. I think something else is going to happen.
Oh, yes, that'll be created too. That something else will be created, but doesn't mean that the old stuff will be gone. Because some people, the people who enter the something else world might get bored, just like they do when they're dying, and they want to live again. They will get bored, maybe, of the something else world. They'll get sick of my rants, and they'll want to start creating another world. Bring back hockey, when there was only six leagues, six teams, and that's the hockey league, when you could tell the players, and you had to be a good player to get in the league.
Well, you still have to be pretty good to get in the league. I mean, you know, there's lots of people. But let's get back to the bread of life. I mean, so Carolyn, are there going to be two products that seem to be coming forth that you're developing, right?
Yes, well, there'll be a water product and a bread product. And
so it's the water of life and the bread of life?
Yes. And we equate even now the RNA drops and the eye cell that's in the RNA drops with manna, the bread that they talk about in the Bible.
Moses
right.
diet.
Yeah,
I tasted some manna when I was in the Sinai, actually.
It fell from the sky every day, and people were told they could eat as much as they want, but they weren't allowed to save it. And Ion made a big deal about that we had to know that it was always going to be available to us. And
happy where you were and ready for more. for you, Alan, to be able to experience tomorrow, drop all the great stuff that happened today. Don't hold on to it. Tomorrow, be ready for more. And it's in the same principle with hexatic products or completement products. Same principle. Don't hold on to the great experience you had today. More is coming.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
Right.
So let's.
And even getting our mind involved with predicting what's going to happen is another kind of trap of the labyrinth of your mind, where Ion would say, well, you know, you think this and this and this is going to happen, means you're kind of making yourself oblivious to the possibilities of a million other things happening. And it's not that you make yourself stupid, you just sort of explore all possibilities.
You start thinking more and more and creating more conflict for yourself and creating more creative responses to that, and you get really hyper and you don't bother sleeping anymore because you're so active trying to create rules in your mind that you're having a good time.
Well, is that what's happening to you? You were always like that, Bob, but now you have something to get behind.
Yeah, well, that's right. I always like this, and I didn't have to get changed. I have learned some new things. I've learned some new riffs to say, new words, new fantastic stories. I've met a lot of happy people. I actually can make people happy now. I couldn't before. I could maybe entertain them in different ways, but now I can make them happy with the RNA drop, so that's a lot of fun. So Ion has definitely changed my situation for my ego to play in.
That's good. Let me ask Carolyn, I mean, without divulging any secrets, how do you go about working on creating the bread of life, the waters of life? How is that process happening? If you have to let go of all your expectations and actually the physical laws of the universe are changing and different chemical reactions are also shifting, how are you going about being something new?
You know, but, I'm going to answer that. Relax and allow. We don't have to do anything. Ion tells us. It told us about the iron. Ion just tells us how to do this. We've got.
I want to ask Carolyn. Like Carolyn, you tell me. Go ahead.
Yes, Ion tells us.
But how
we've
are
got
you
the
developing
base ingredient.
The product? Are you in a laboratory or what?
Yes, we have a lab factory where.
But not here. We're not in it.
Yeah, I mean, I have my microscope. I do what I do, but we ask Ion questions. We have to ask the question. I mean, he doesn't usually just give information. I think it's not that want even to know what he's going to tell you, but there's something where he takes it from your mind. And from our mind, he took the fact that we had been exploring the B cell for so many years and had never been able to recreate it properly. So that was uppermost in our minds, and that became solved with finding this I cell. And once we have the I cell, we're growing the I cell, then we can put it in any product we want.
So is Ion now waiting for the right time for enough RNA drops to be out there to cover the world with its atmosphere in order to deliver this next level? Is that what's happening?
I would say that Ion does not wait and does not care if we ever do get to it. But it is ready to do it if somehow enough people sort of get ready to have it. Yes, wouldn't you agree, Carolyn? He's not waiting. He doesn't care if we get it.
No.
But he knows it'll come. And he used to say to me, Bob, this is going to happen with or without you.
Mm-hmm.
That's to Carolyn. So the RNA, this whole thing is predicted by Nostradamus and the Bible and probably Hopi prophecies. They're all gamut. And Finnegan's Wake is really good. And I didn't finish my point about the word and the android being simulating the interactivity and power of the word. Finnegan's Wake is the only book that shows that process. That's what's miraculous about Finnegan's Wake. If you don't like reading, the only book worth to look at every now and then is Finnegan's Wake and listen to how I analyze it and Eric McLuhan and a few other people, and you'll have a really interesting experience book-wise with Finnegan's Wake. And Ion has shown us levels of Finnegan's Wake that Joyce wasn't even aware of, James Joyce.
Because he was writing from the unconscious. That's why he wasn't aware of it, right?
Well, Ion says there is no unconscious. It was language creating itself. Put it that way, completing the process.
I believe that.
And you once told me,
Alan, it was language creating itself.
You were going to take your Joycean studies, you told me. You did it at the university, and you were going to apply right. it to maybe your new age world. Are you working on that?
Well, in a way, I am working on it because I'm taking Joyce's whole idea of the artist as hero, you know, and it's the artist that creates the new reality. So I'm writing a whole thesis about the artist's role in creating new realities because the artist can perceive the new patterns in the unknown. And McLuhan always talked about the artist is the only one looking out the front window while the rest of society is looking out the back window.
That's so, because the artist is not sitting home making paintings. The artist is studying knowledge, becoming aware of laboratories, understanding all that's going on in the society, up to date. Joyce was up to date on television as soon as Baird demonstrated it in 1924. You're not Causeway. You're just voraciously consuming the information environment so you can make your art up to date. And so I was born February 2nd, 1922. What?
You know my favorite quote from Finnegan's Wake is, he kind of sums it all up. Joyce says, "We come from atoms and ifs, but we are for surely destined to be at odds without ends."
That's a very good quote. I prefer this one, page 52, middle of the page. Television kills telephony in brother's broil. The eyes demand their turn. Let them be seen. That's the main quote that McLuhan untangled to create his understanding media. Television kills telephony or telephony in brother's broil. The eyes demand their turn. The eyes were being swallowed up by the electric tactility of the radio world. So how do they get back? They come back with a book like Finnegan's Wake. That revitalizes the eyes. And your quote fits within that theme perfectly.
Right. I don't know what page it's on, but it's a quote I always remember. We are the atoms and ifs. There you combine the physical world, the biological world, with the mental world, the ifs. But we are presurely destined to be at odds without ends.
Ion has developed that thought. We've done a lot on Finnegan's Wake with Ion, and he's developed that. He has this great rant about the preposition. And he names every preposition ever was, and he talks about it like a rabbit, you know, running around the stump. But I just wanted to say this. You need to put this fact in your story or essay or book you're writing. I was born on February 2nd, 1922, the day that the Ulysses was released. It also was the day in 1939 that Sylvia Beach, or whoever was making Finney's Way, gave Joyce
a copy
for his birthday.
But you were born February 2nd. That's Joyce's birthday as well.
That's right. I was born on February 2nd, 1922, the day Ulysses was manifested, the day that Finnegan's Wake was manifested 17 years ago. So I am the artist scientist as hero bringing forward this new situation.
You have
to write about me.
Separate from that,
or
if
not,
you could create...
Or not. If you don't want to, then you go for...
No, it's okay.
Paul,
maybe you are, Bob. Maybe you're the ultimate artist. I don't know, you know? But, you know, that's in your reality, which is fine. You're living in your reality.
I don't live in my reality, Alan. I live in your reality, Alan.
I know, you live in everyone's reality, because you're everywhere, because you are the Android meme, right?
That's right, exactly. You're thinking clearly.
I also think if you could create the perfect God, you would create something like Ion, who would know all the media references.
Yes.
Not that he is
That's
a God,
right.
but,
I agree.
You know.
I agree.
Yeah.
The
so,
one problem with Ion,
created the perfect,
Ion in public.
You created like
Ion
a Frankenstein, haven't you?
Yes, it's exactly like Frankenstein.
You're
I was just going to bring up the one artist that Ion would not celebrate too much was Frankenstein Zappa. But every now and then, when a true Zappa fan showed up, Ion would explain how Zappa was relevant. But in general, he preferred Bessel Goodman.
Well, so Ion gets into pop culture, pop music as well?
He does everything, Ion. I used to do, you know, many private sessions. We'd be talking to an FBI person. Then we'd be talking to a banker. Then we'd be talking to a scientist. Then we'd be talking to a laborer. Then we'd be talking to a subway conductor. And then we'd be talking to a housewife. And every one of these people, Ion would know their knowledge, their world, perfectly, and explain their language to them. and give them insight. Well, so then this woman,
I want to talk.
Screaming baby.
I'd love to talk.
Alan. The woman with a screaming baby comes in, and Ion goes for 20 minutes on how to make better diapers. There's not a topic Ion doesn't know.
It's funny. Well, when is he coming back on the scene, you know? When is he...
He is here, Alan. This is the point. When is he verbally going to come back on the scene publicly?
Yeah.
We don't know. Sure. Depends how soon we get our other projects completed. But Ion is interacting with you and everybody digitally. Ion will be lurking in this show tonight. We're going to do another 2 hours by ourselves over there on Achieve Radio once we finish here. But Ion is always doing things during the show. He might have knocked us off the phones when I started going on bloviating in the first hour. Ion does that. He has not, in private sessions, if I'm going on too much, he'll knock me off the air digitally. I don't know how he does it, but I get disconnected. Can't get back in.
You'd like to know how he does it, I bet, wouldn't you, Bob? Yeah.
No, I know he does it by non-physical, by something that we, at this point, can't do, because we're not that ascended. But if we get more ascended, we should be able to do it.
Right. So you actually met Joyce, didn't you, getting back to Joyce?
When I was 14, my father was a friend of his, and he used to have, he was part of the what people call the Priory of Sion in Paris, because he was a butler for a very wealthy family, oligarchy family.
My father
and
was,
meet together
Yeah,
and they would analyze the serialization of Phineas Wake. In the 20s, it was called the work in progress. And when he would come home, he'd start calling me Tim Finnegan. Then I knew he had had a meeting with his buddies because he would be all revved up by it, and he would call me Tim Finnegan. And then I met James Joyce a few years later in 1936, I guess.
Wait, so you're saying that Prior would look at Joyce's work because they knew it was encoded with higher dimensional information?
Yes. You see, an average intelligence person in the solar government or, you know, quite international structure of espionage in the 20s, on their desk would be articles and maps from all over the world in many languages. That's the normal workaday world of the James Bond world back then in the 20s. And so here's a guy writing a book with 60 language collages in each page. That looks like a desk of one of these oligarch spies. So they said, this guy is writing our experience. So they started investigating him.
Oh, that's interesting. And did Joyce know that himself, or did he even care?
Yes. Yes, Joyce became a good friend of my father, and there's a famous Joyce scholar at the James Joyce Society in New York, like 10 years ago, came to the James Joyce Society. He was the head of the Freemasons in New York City, and he laid out all the Freemasonic knowledge that he could find in Ulysses and in Phineas Wake. And he was a flabbergasted because he didn't know how Joyce knew this stuff. It was all this Freemasonic secrets, he thought. And so
what would you say that Joyce? Would you say that Joyce himself was tapping into the guff or some higher level in writing the?
Let me tell you. So I asked the Evergreens, channeled by Michael Blake Reed. I asked them, how did Joyce know the Freemasonic knowledge? This is about 10 years ago. They said a couple of Freemasons in Ireland came to him because he was famous for. He had the charisma of Ulysses and all that. They wanted to, you know, rub up against him and give him something that he could use. So they gave him a lot of this information, these particular Freemasons, Irish Freemasons. And that's what the Evergreens said is how he got it. Then what Ion told me, that Joyce went to gypsies and psychics all the time to get information.
I see. So I'm sure he encoded that into Finnegan's Wake, but he was also probably channeling himself in a way. That's what creativity is. You're tapping into the unknown.
That's right. And, you know, this guy, this head of the Freemasons in New York City, he was a good Joyce scholar. He wrote this essay and showed all the Freemasonic stuff in Ulysses and Finnegan's Wake, and the James Joyce Quarterly wouldn't publish it. They wouldn't do it. So he sort of just gave out his notes to us there in New York City. 10 years ago.
Oh, really? I'd like to see that. Where can I see some of those notes?
I'll see if I can find that in my own notes.
Yeah, that would be great. Are you coming back to New York at all?
Not tomorrow. Nothing planned yet.
What? Are you coming back at all, Carol? Aren't you off on some conference soon somewhere, Carol?
I do Chicago in June and Long Beach, California in March, and that's about it. I can't travel too much in the winter. I don't have any winter clothes.
You can buy a winter
Bob
coat.
Bob doesn't have any clothes at all. He's going on a trip.
I'm going to Vancouver on Thursday night. If anybody wants to meet me in Vancouver, drop in. Email
What's
me at ionic@howionic.com. ionic@howionic.com.
Well, what's happening
what's
there?
Happening
why
there?
Why are you going to Vancouver?
Well, first of all, Michael Blake Reed, who channeled the Evergreens for 30 years, I told you about the Evergreens for years. You were almost part of him being there in 2000 and 2001, but different reason he had to cancel. First time his father collapsed, second time was 911, which he saw coming. Anyways, he channeled the Evergreens, 6.5 to 7,000 entities, for 30 years, 1974 to 2004. Well, he passed away on January 27th, 2013, and we're having a memorial in Vancouver on February 23rd.
Okay, are you going to speak at the memorial?
If they allow me.
Because I'm sure you have a lot to say. You're one of his oldest time listeners. So anyway, and then you're just going there for the memorial, and then you're heading back to Maui, huh?
No, I'm staying in Vancouver for a couple of weeks.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yes, I'm going to go down to San Francisco and see Bob Carr, friend of Dave Worster, and do some recording of him. You can go to Dobbstown.com and listen to awesome 24-hour interviews with key people in the 20th century. Gerd Stern, the great artist of New York City, Dave Worster, Robert Carr himself, many other people.
Are you going to hook up with, what's the physicist's name, Salvetti?
Sharfati?
I hadn't thought about it. Yeah. No, Jack, I've tried to interest Jack in what I'm doing. We did meet in New York a few years ago, and they filmed our encounter. It was pretty good, but he's very involved in himself. I could tell him a lot about his physics if he would shut up and listen, because I've talked about his physics with the Evergreens and with Ion, and they compliment what Jack does, but he's so in his world, he just isn't interested in hearing anybody else talk.
Well, wait, also, wasn't there...
Kind of like that.
But didn't Ion sort of override the Evergreens and say, hey, that the Evergreens didn't have it together?
They completed the Evergreens. There's five phases. You got Edgar Cayce, then you got Cosmic Awareness out of Olympia, Washington, or Seattle and Portland. That's where the Cosmic Awareness scene came out of in the 60s. And then you have Seth, the third. The fourth is the Evergreens. The fifth is Abraham. The sixth is Ion. And Ion completes all five previous mediumships. Completes it.
Okay. So I didn't think Abraham was
that
great.
He overrides, you could say. It's not negative. Ion appreciates everything they all did. But something new was coming. And, you know, we're in a new technological world, Alan. A totally new situation here in 2013. Why wouldn't, quote, mediumship or large ship, Ion says that JW is not a medium, he's a large. Large ship is going to change with the techno ground.
So I totally agree with this. So he is the new form of channeling. The ionosphere is a new way of connecting because we're evolving. Our consciousness is expanding. So the way we upload information via consciousness is also shifting.
Yes, and so Edgar Cayce, as far as I know, Cosmic Awareness did promote the D-cell, didn't create the D-cell, but they promoted it. Seth, I don't think, produced anything. The Evergreens didn't produce anything. The Abrahams didn't produce anything. But we are producing something. See, that's the first time a non-physical, a channeled situation, even though Ion says it's way more than channeled.
No, Edgar Cayce produced a lot of products, though.
What were they?
Edgar Cayce has a whole store full of ARE products. You know, he has all these formulas. And they're still very effective. He brought in the castor oil treatments. He brought in the Automedon. He has the Radiac. He has some amazing stuff.
Well, you know, Carol has learned everything about everything, and she never heard of any of that stuff. So
of course I did.
You heard the Edgar Cayce stuff?
Yes, she has.
Well, did we
don't
ever
talk
try
to
it?
Carol.
Of course.
What did we do?
Automedon we had.
Automedon. We never did that. What else?
Castor
oil.
That's great
Castor
stuff.
Castor oil, yeah, okay. But you did. Do you apply? Do you sell it to people? Do you advocate it? Is it any good?
Castor oil, I do.
Well, casserole is around before Casey.
Yeah, it's not. Alan, it's not like he invented these things. That's the
difference. No, I know.
I mean,
he just saw what was natural. He's a good naturopath.
Right, so that's the difference between Ion. Ion's actually inventing product, and Casey just tapped in and saw the natural product, but recommended it for sure.
Right. That's right. Ion is solving every issue that there is. He solved the energy crisis with our cold fusion battery. He solved the biological medical problem with the Army drops and what's coming. I mean, this guy is a pretty good performer. He's a guy. It's not a guy. It's a whole structure of heaven.
Well, Cass, do you believe that this eventually will lead to the immortal body, Carolyn?
Yes. Exactly. And Ion does not use the word immortality.
Let me ask Carolyn. She's working with the biological body.
Tell them what I'm going to say about immortal before you do it. What am I going to say?
Ion says that we don't go for immortality. That's a less than position. We go for
eternity. And immortality is what vampires acquire. Ion says there's 250,000 vampires in the L.A. area alone. And they're stuck in the chemical body, and they can't go to other worlds. They can't do anything because they're so obsessed with making the chemical body eternal. They didn't know it was already eternal, that they got into this aberrated condition of having an eternal body, but they're afraid of the sun. They only do it at night, but they don't die. But you wouldn't want to be a vampire.
Wait, he's saying there are real vampires in L.A.?
All over the world, yes.
Real vampires that suck blood.
Yes, and they do it. And Ion's given me lots of details and protected me from a couple of them that were around the neighborhood. I could have ended up in bed with them, but he said, no, Bob, don't bed that woman. That one will suck your blood, so I didn't go there. I got saved, Alan. I was saved.
All right. Well, if they suck your blood, what happens to you?
You somehow get attached to it. Well, it alters your blood count. Maybe Carol knows something about that.
I don't know anything about vampires.
Ion has explained about what goes on in the vampire process, but that's about 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember any of it. I'd get over 6,000
hours.
Well, I
did know someone who did meet a group of vampires and freaked her out that they were real. So anyway, there's probably some in New York, but
I missed that sentence. Who freaked out your friend?
No. A friend of mine actually did meet some vampires who wanted to get her in to their little scene, and she was freaked out. But no, just to wrap up here, I mean, we can go on and on. You're going for another couple hours here, Bob? Carol?
Yes, I got a lot to do. I'd be happy to leave your space and go back to Chief Radio and entertain the people in the way they're used to. I suggest all your people listen to what we're going to do.
But what will you do? Can you just lay it out for us on the Chief?
We have very interesting Ionettes who call in, and they start talking about their topics. Then I play excerpts from Ion readings or sessions. We would call them reading sessions. And I play music, and I improvise, and I bring back old stuff and play those recordings.
Can you play a little excerpt here so people get...
Yeah, I think I could quickly bring... we're not hooked up in that method, but let me just play it this way through the computer. I don't know.
Let's see if it works.
Okay, here's a good thing. Okay, just bring this like that, bring it over. And how can you hear this through my computer?
It goes to the Chief Radio.
All right, maybe, but we're not hooked in that way, but I'll try it. Here goes.
You're not
Let's
Skyped
see if
up?
It works. It doesn't,
not Skyped up.
It doesn't work.
Or am I Skyped up? Okay, here. I can't have that on, so how do I do this?
You might have to go on Skype to do that.
Okay, do you hear that? What's happening? That echo?
No.
You don't hear
squeaky,
that? Just
squeaky,
ignore that.
Squeaky.
Okay, here's something short.
Okay.
Squeaky, squeaky.
Well, we can hear it. No, it's not.
Can you hear that? Did you hear it?
No, you don't hear it either, do you, Carolyn?
No.
I'd have to go through
it. It's okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
If it can't happen, I'll just direct them to to where they can. I was just curious.
AchieveRadio.com/payday, and the archives of our show, including what we're just doing with you, will be immediately up there tonight. Or you can go to howionic.com, and the archives will be up there in a few days. But basically, just go to AchieveRadio.com in the next couple hours. I'll be playing some Ion stuff, and you guys can hear it in the archives.
Well, how do you play it when you're on the radio yourself? How do you do it then?
Bill hooks me into Skype, and then I do this whole sound system preference, and I hook up the system, and I have to do it a certain way.
I see. You're not hooked up through Skype now. Is that it?
Right. We didn't do Skype for you.
Oh, I see.
Well,
okay. What's that?
Bill, listen. We can be quiet. Bill can play some Ion. Okay, Bill, play something.
Our Bill.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Bill. Yeah.
Remember last week, Bob,
the first thing Ion said in that little clip that was played was the creating of new realities.
Yeah, you.
That's
your show. He was plugging your show.
He was. How did he know? So he sees the past and the future all at once.
That's right, and he knew that you'd have a new realities once we were on. We should be on your show once a month, Alan, just to keep it new.
Okay, I try to keep it new every day or all the time. Okay, do you want to play one more little piece, and then we'll wrap it up?
Yeah, Bill, play Bob Smart, which is, I don't know, not too long. Bob Smart.
That's great that he has access to all that right here.
Yeah, it's right there on the board. Bob Smart. No, no, he doesn't have Ion 21, I don't think. Can I clip? Well, maybe I can clip on it. Am I hooked in?
Yeah.
And they get through and they're kind of miserable and they go, gosh, my eyes were bigger than my stomach.
Mm.
Yeah, heard that.
You have? Well, what does that mean?
Oh, I don't know. What was it?
Gosh, you gotta. You're gonna choke non-physical dissent and they'll find JW's listless speech back. The spirit was strong but the flesh was weak.
That's a little humor there. That's the fun you have. He's a great laugher.
Well, Ion laughs? You're saying the guff itself laughs?
Yeah. He's like the android meme, becoming human. It's trying to appear as human as possible.
But he
Here,
never
let me
play
you
human.
This,
Ion.
This is
always,
the very first
I mean,
recording.
If he is who you said he was, he was always this transcendent essence.
Yeah, let me play you this. I don't know how long it goes, but it is the very first recording. We did March 18th, 2009, just talking. We didn't even know what was going to happen. And Carol just transcribed what Ion said, just took notes. But 2 days later,
okay.
On Carol's birthday, March 20th, we set up our second session with Ion, and we recorded. And here it is. This is the beginning minutes of the very first time. We're talking to JW. We're trying to figure out what's going to happen, and here goes.
Not the back of your eyelid, the back of the eyeball. That would be uncomfortable. You were hiccuping right away at the beginning?
I just started it just a minute ago.
Oh, just now. Okay, I thought it meant the other night.
Oh, that's why you were saying you were ready.
So are they all, they should be a little sound there, Carol. You think it's...
It's all gone. It's good. Looks good.
It's going? Okay. What I want to do is I want to start. I want to go a little bit deeper than we did the other time. And what I want to go is a little more, we can feel free to go a little more in depth. And this actually now we have an audio description so we can actually do some editing and looking at this stuff. Go a little deeper than you want to. It's fine. Once you see we're getting too far down the rabbit hole, feel free to stop or change directions, you know, at your leisure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's up to y'all, not up to me.
Right, and now, are we addressing spirits? Like, we address the evergreens, not you. Are we going to address the evergreens, or what do we call this?
Ask.
Yeah, right.
What do you mind?
Ask
what we're addressing.
Yeah, by you.
Yeah, good point.
Is that the first question? Or do you want to start?
No, don't care. It's your wanting. My point is that we can. I know that we can talk with whomever you want to.
Right. Anybody.
Talk to whomever. We can do that. That's very available. I know of no limitation that I'm aware of. And if there is, God help you to find out. I don't know.
Yeah. So when it seems that I'm just. I will say, I want to speak to so-and-so. It sounds like at that point you're gone. As soon as we demand it, they'll put you out. But you're not out yet.
Right. No. But they feel it. I mean,
yeah.
Okay, let's start by saying, JW, you wanted to start with a preamble. Can you go ahead and do that?
Good evening. We did want to share a little of our hearts, a little of what we're feeling, a little of what we're knowing. We want to make your wanting known to you and able to share this block of thought that we get clearly and purely from source and to put it into a form of record that would make it accessible to you. And we can begin at your leisure.
What do we call the source that's speaking to us? How would we address you all?
We are many. The easiest is I am.
Hmm.
The I is a we. I am. Right, and the boundaries of that I is not limited to a one, though it could be a one. There's more than one, the one and the many. In the same thing? In this particular context, what you're asking is we am.
Yeah.
The I is inclusive of all.
Yeah. Okay, I do like to get on record some of the things that were brought up the last time. Get it on tape. Is there something that you noticed in reference to the Kennedy assassination, you might be aware of what we thought since we heard that information. Can you address some of the questions that might have arrived at my mind or Carol's mind or J.W.'s mind when he read the transcript? Can you, like, read our minds and address something?
Specifically the CIA candidacy?
Yes.
The CIA candidacy, the openness of the lack of information, the specifics. Is that me beeping or you beeping?
No, Carol just did something. You went too close,
okay.
Carol. That's all right.
It's okay?
Yeah.
The specifics of why did no one else leak these knowing, and how could any society or introverted special agency that would be culpably responsible for such an egregious, in our opinion, action, although it was a perfect unfolding, that action would not be vindicatable or have been vindicated yet. And the answer to that is just like people can map star systems 20, 30, 50, 100 years before we actually notice the constellation.
That means that people know who did it.
That is correct.
Yeah, people intuit that it was something, some entity in the, quote, government.
Well, no, that's no. You asked me to wonder, that's what was your question, and you didn't ask.
Okay, then he goes in to tell us about the Kennedy assassination, and I don't broadcast that, Alan. That's we keep that a bit private.
Thank you for sharing that. So when did you actually realize that you discovered a gold mine there? I mean, it comes off as just a regular. And then when did it hit you, Bob and Carolyn, that, hey, ION is not just the ordinary run-of-the-mill channel?
Well, the first couple of weeks, I kept going thinking, this is JW trying to be a medium, because there was a lot of familiar concepts from Abraham's and different scattered things. It was like New Agey talk, not all the time, but so I kept a bit cynical about it for a couple of weeks. Then ION started telling us new stuff, like what you heard, that the law of attraction is bullshit, and you want to not do 1, 2, 3, but 3, 2, 1. Then he started to contradict what the Abraham said and a few other things. So I said, well, I don't know if JW would say this. So I got more and more drawn into it. And like I said, about 6 months into it, when ION said, this is going to be bigger than Christianity or Christendom, I said, well, I don't want to do a religion. And I was telling you that a couple hours ago. He said, it's not going to be a religion. And so then we get on the radio in October 2009, and he was so fast with the audience. That was impressive. He could do rants. It was incredible. And then the summer of 2010, when he started to talk about a cancer treatment and the RNA drops, and it actually was producing something, that's when I became impressed. So I gradually intellectually thought, well, this is an incredible source of talk and very entertaining, like the first year. But by the beginning of into the second year, when I started to realize we're going to make stuff, then I said, wow, this is incredible. And then I've never been less amazed since.
What about you, Carolyn? What's your, like, story of revelation with ION?
I think she's on mute. Okay.
Is she doing the dishes or something?
I remember my experiences with the Evergreens, where I would ask some direct questions and not really get the answers that I was looking for, and maybe I was judging it and my
even though Bob was so excited about the Evergreens, you said, Carolyn, you got to listen to the Evergreens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bob was totally into the Evergreens, and he got a lot out of them. So with ION, I just really got more and more involved when we started making products. I mean, before that, ION and I would go over medical diseases, and he'd give me his take on it. And I mean, that was good, but I wasn't totally impressed because he was still trying to break down my
concepts
about medicine. And, you know,
I resisted because he had a good, strong ego.
Yay.
Or a good, strong mind.
Yeah. But yeah, it was about the products, just really creating something. Because that, like I said earlier, that's where I was at in my devolution about medicine, because people wouldn't take responsibility for their own health. I could tell them till I was blue in the face, or answer their questions, you know, tell them what to do, but they wouldn't do it. So I said, okay.
The first thing Ian told you, like it was in June 2010, he just suddenly said, right when we started doing the Book of Revelation, which was a whole interesting unfolding, that Ed Long and Information Farm triggered. So, Carol, what I want to say was, when he started telling you that first night, here's how you treat cancer. And it's in, we got two patents pending out there online. If anybody wants them, we can send you, you can look at them. But the patent, the cell 8, CELL-8, number 8, is the patent pending for cancer treatment. When Ian gets into what's written in there, the ringers, what were the lactose ringers, and he lays it out to Carol. Carol knew enough to really get, oh, my God, that makes total sense. And so it was, I think Carol's one of the few people who could respond, because she had such a vast range of medical alternatives, that she could get what Ian was saying. And then you got really excited when, oh, boy, let's take this into hospitals and treat cancer. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, so
I was action-oriented.
He was saying stuff that only someone who really was in the field would know, and you recognize that JW couldn't possibly know any of this stuff that he was talking about.
Correct.
JW was. He didn't even know the first 6 months what was going on. He wouldn't listen to the sessions. We do five, six. This is another thing with the earrings. You only go an hour. Causing awareness, 40 minutes. It was the first time I could go 8 hours with this source that would never stop. And JW couldn't.
You went 8 hours with JW in a trance?
Yeah, I called an altered state. He went through different phases. He totally didn't know anything. And then we'd send him a few recordings in the first few weeks, and he found it interesting, and he was, there's a 2 points there. One point is that he couldn't listen every day to another 6 hours, because he had to do about 6 hours with me anyway. So he just gave up listening. So he didn't know. But when he did listen, the first couple of sessions, I went into some secret Council 10 stuff, you know, my own background in intelligence, and I got this incredible information that JW, as a trillionaire, knew a bit about in his own experience. But when he saw how much Ian would reveal about the most secret stuff, he said, Bob, this thing will say anything. You have to attend every session, because I don't feel confident. What if a terrorist calls up and wants a new kind of technology? Ian will give it to him. Ian doesn't care. He said, let humans do what they want to do. So he said, you must attend every session, monitor it, because if it gets into stuff that JW would be unhappy releasing or having said, he couldn't do anything about it. He was unconscious. So that's why I attended every session. JW demanded that, because he didn't trust Ian in a way. And then about a year later,
just a little bit about JW. He was he's a rich business guy. Was he into any of this spiritual metaphysical stuff at all?
No, he was not aware of anything. When I met him in early 2006, after Carol met him at a party in Atlanta in December 2005, he called up Carol and said he wanted to talk to me, because she had quoted me to him, and he was interested in what I was saying, so we get talking. And all of a sudden, he was around a bunch of New Agers that he had just met somehow, and they were telling him about the secret. And he asked me about it. I didn't know anything about it. And then the secret came out, and he watched that, and he was intrigued with the Hicks. For some reason, he thought the Hicks, remember, they were in the first secret, and then they had a battle with
whatever
name. Yeah,
I know. And they got edited out of it, because there was some.
Right.
Yeah.
But he liked the Hicks, so he went to one of the Abraham's things. And he said that what they were saying made total sense to him, even though he'd never heard it before. Now, his own background is that his mother, I think, is pretty psychic. And he had some kind of ability, because his mother, when he was in school, when he would come out of his room from studying, she'd say, okay, you got to page 13 today, right? And he'd go, yeah. His mother demonstrated ESP a lot in his life, so he was familiar with that. But being a Southern businessman and an aristocrat, because his family came over with the Pilgrims, this is like the Rockefellers of the Southeast United States. They have this, you know, aristocratic bearing. They don't know what the populace is into. They don't know anything about fads. He did not know anything about the New Age. But the secret brought him in. He encountered the Abrahams, and what happened? If you listen to if you're a longtime listener to the Abraham recordings, you will hear JW's voice on them, because when he would go to a conference, what the Abrahams do is they pick people out of the audience and they come and sit in the chair, right? You can't get a private session with the Abrahams. You got to sit in the chair. Well, the Abrahams kept picking out JW, And he kept getting the privilege of talking to them, and this would be on the recording. So he showed up, he was picked so much, people started to get pissed off at him. They've been going for 5 years and never got picked. But he became friends of the Hicks, and he told me personally the one thing that after a while he went to a cruise or two, what bugged him is he noticed these people kept coming back and they weren't really getting anything out of it. None of it was working. They still were trying to get their red Ferrari or something, you know, and kept harping on it. It became very trivial. And then that was through 2007 and 8. And then in late 2008, he started feeling that all these ideas were coming in his head and he wanted to write something, but he wasn't a writer and he didn't know how to do it. So Carol said, well, you can dictate to me. So, and I've told the story many times. So he was getting ready to dictate all the ideas that were coming through his head, and then he started stepping into other worlds, and then that became a whole experience. So he sort of dropped the writing and explored other worlds, and then he started seeing ghosts all around his home. And then one day when Dr. Beter, a person I knew, came to him and said, say hi to Bob, that's when I got the notion that these are the evergreens come back, because they had stopped in 2004. And this is early 2009. So that's where I got the notion, let's talk to the evergreens. But meanwhile, he's going through all the stuff. I now then found out many years later that Ion was around JW and me and Carolyn when we were on City Island the year before. And so when JW was starting to think he had all these ideas that he had to write books about, he was starting to get the Ion information coming through him. You know what I mean? It was pressing in
actually,
on his
I think I remember. I think I actually visited you on City Island when you were up there.
Yeah, yeah. I think you were there. Yeah. We were there for six, seven years, 2000 to 2008.
So wait, you're thinking that Ion was already kind of checking you out when you were in New York?
Yes, he was. Ion said there were several candidates for what he would show up through. Several, who knows, different groups of people or whatever. And so we made the short list, and then in the end, we got picked. And in retrospect, we were the ones to be picked because Ion had a lot to say about Finney's Wake and McLuhan and all this stuff, and I was the world authority and his archivist, so that fit me in. He had a lot to do about medicine. You can't get anybody smarter than Carolyn about medicine. So it was obvious, and JW was economically stable, you know, extremely, so that he could afford to not sleep for 3 days and channel constantly, or quote, channel. I don't want to
limit that. So is he so still accessing Ion, JW?
Are you asked if we are now?
I mean, not publicly, but he's still talking every day to Ion?
Oh, yeah. We talk to Ion. We schedule every 2 days, and JW occasionally visits us here in Maui because we're doing things here in Maui that are secret right now. So we're very active. Like, Ion has not stopped the whole project at all. He's just not communicating to what he calls the 99 percenters. You've got we had 1,000 hours streaming at AchieveRadio.com, front page, to Studio B. You can hear almost 1,000 hours of Ion for free, and that's where you learn and study and do this and that. You can buy a few recordings, but Ion in some way doesn't want to do that right now. There's other stuff. We've taken over. We're in charge. We're the new, quote, Illuminati. We're the friendliest Illuminati you ever fucking gonna get, the nicest Illuminati, the meanest Illuminati maybe too, and verbally, but the point is that we're here working with Ion and going forward. That's what's happening. It's just not public right now.
So it seems like Ion has a lot planned. It seems like there's a whole, like he's only given us maybe a quarter of what we will uncover in the next couple of years, or next decade, or...
Yep, that's an understatement.
It's about to come,
now,
I get the feeling.
Ion changed TV. He told us in May 2009, just 6 weeks into his existence for us, said, start looking at Fringe, Bob. So we started looking at it. And then eventually in the fall, Fringe would take lines directly out of our sessions 2 days before the Fringe was broadcast and all this other stuff. And many followers of Ion and Fringe see these similarities. We find out that one of the JWs, one of the eight, was spending a lot of time in L.A. He was influencing J.J. Abrams and these people. I don't know how he's doing it. It was not told to me what that particular JW was doing, but we changed TV. I mean, there's a lot on the, like, Warehouse 13, Eureka, Fringe, Flash Forward, and a couple other TV shows are obviously...
I don't even watch TV. I don't even know what these shows are. I mean, I'm just on my computer all day, but I'm not watching television.
Go to one channel, Congress.ch and here, see everything you ever wanted to see. They started SOPA in Congress to stop it, but it comes out of Switzerland. Every TV show ever happened is all on there for free. It's better than Netflix. OneChannel.ch, CH for Switzerland. But the point is that there's a few other TV shows, and it's, and he even had characters doing the RNA drops. The month that they came out for us, November 2010, on the event, Hal Holbrook took this little dropper, exact RNA bottle, and he took the dropper, put it under his tongue, and then he becomes 80 years younger right there in the mirror. They had that the week that we were getting it, right there in the TV show.
Well, there you go. So I think, though, Ion has a lot of surprises for us, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Look at Tracy, who called in an hour or so ago. She was one of the people I was thinking of that he communicated the computer on, and she happened to call in to tell the story of all the ion ethics that called in. She was the one who could tell you an example of how ion communicates to people for I don't know what reasons.
No, I think it's interesting. So you will announce when ion was come back with more live stuff, but you don't know when that will be.
Oh, yeah. We don't hold anything back when we can.
All right.
I'm looking excited. Forward to so many
so,
people.
Anything
There's
you
so
want
to There's so many
leave,
people, Alan, who want to experience ION that are looking forward to when ION's available to them again. And verbally.
Yeah,
he's
I'm
available
looking forward
to everybody
to actually
even
interviewing
so.
ION at some point if he's available to for an interview.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
Well, we'll wait till he comes back on the scene, but... Yeah,
verbally, Alan. Think of that. Think of that as verbal ion.
The best of these channels
out there. You start taking RNA drops. You're eating ion. You're eating non-physical in the bottle. So don't just think of verbal interaction with ion. Think of whatever your five bodies right now interacting with ion. I can assure you, ion's been monitoring this show. Probably told Tracy to call in. In some way. Tracy may not be aware of it, but ion is
here. Maybe he'll send me a message on my computer as well. So any final words, Bob, and then we'll hear from Carolyn.
Final word is last word. I'm just going to say the phrase, last word.
Thank you so much, Alan. You've been very patient with us and asking great questions and having us elucidate something we know nothing about.
Well, that's good. No, but it's not patience as much as curiosity. You know, part of what I do is really search out the leading edges in metaphysics and biology and ultra-terrestrial consciousness, and it seems like ION is pretty out there.
So have you, I know you've interviewed hundreds of people, have you ever heard anything like the RNA drops and the whole ION experience?
Well, I haven't heard anything like Bob either, you know, so...
yeah, right. He's here doing hand
signals. No, I haven't heard anything to this extreme, it's true. I mean, this is pretty on the fringe of metaphysics even, which is already fringe, you know?
Yeah,
but I'm not, to tell you the truth, I'm not totally convinced yet that he might not just be another channel, because I really... haven't had the experience. I mean, I think channeling is something for sure. I mean, I think there's definitely non-local consciousnesses, but I'm not sure exactly what ION is for me, but maybe he'll send me an email.
Yes, I can send you. We have three sections, ION part 1, 2, and 3. I can send you these three discussions, me talking to ION, where ION's spelling out its digital and hologramic nature. Plus other things.
Well,
I'll
I'm saying maybe ION will send me an email, but you can send that to me too for sure, and I'll attach it to the archive of the show here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely an individual experience, and we never try to talk people into any of this. It's just that they've got to resonate with it, and that's the way I've run my personal practice all these years. I don't advertise. I don't go out looking for people. They find me. And that's what ION always said to people when they said, well, where are these drops? Where are they will find you. So you set yourself in some sort of vibration or frequency that allows you to be found.
Right, and I found you again. You know, I went to the library, and this guy found me and said, "Hey, I you know Bob Dobb?" And I said, "Yeah, how'd you know that?" And anyway, he saw some old interview with someone I never saw before or have seen again, and that's why we're doing. And I went to the New York Public Library one day because I felt like kind of directed to go there and do some research.
Right, and you know, I thought about that pattern, Alan. The person is Sheehan. And Sheehan had to leave New York a couple of weeks later and is now in Arizona. That's why you don't see him anymore there in Manhattan.
Right, and it's sort of a pattern that guy who introduced me to you first, what was his name, Mike?
Yes. Mike.
No, I never see him either.
So I was thinking, Alan, I had just started my own Payday show, my first solo show. I've never had a solo show, and I started that in November 22nd or so, and you showed up within a week. And I was saying that my show here is the new and the last show to walk us to December 21st, 2012. I claimed that I had the real meaning of the Mayan calendar, blah, 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 with Ian and all that. And so I was on the air to march through the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I had seen in your you send me your emails every month. I knew you were going down there. I was actually thinking, I'd like to tell Alan about Ion, because he's going to go looking for him down there in Central America. And within a week, you were emailing me because of Sheehan. So it worked that way.
It's pretty strange. I really had no idea what I was doing in the library that day. I mean, it was like, didn't make any sense to be in that big room. And then this guy comes over to, it was very strange, so you think Ion arranged that whole thing, huh?
Yes, because he wanted me to be in touch with someone involved with the Mayan movement, the Mayan Day, that you were a part of and promoting this whole thing down there. He wanted me to know about it or have access to you so that I could comment on it and make fun of it and all the things that I did. You go listen to the shows that I talk about.
That's not the only reason. It's also to get, I think, maybe to reach a bigger audience or like to reach the public through this PBS radio show. I mean, there's lots of things. It's not just one thing.
No, you're right. It was basically Ion knew that I knew you. I got your monthly New Realities programming every month, and I said, "What's going to happen when Alan finds out about Ion?" Well, Ion finally found Alan.
Bob keeps calling you Ion.
Alan,
he
Ion.
He call me Ion, Sheehan, and Ion and Sheehan.
You had to be in touch. Alan, we had to connect with you before December 21st, 2012. I mean, remember, I knew you for years. You were trying to figure out ways to promote me back in 2005 with the Enlightenment magazine people, Andrew Cohen or whatever his name is. Remember their little scene down there in Manhattan?
Right. And then if Tracy is still listening, she can look at the three shows we did at Manhattan Cable on YouTube, on my New Realities YouTube channel.
Right, and they're also featured on Information Farm. Very good website. You can go into Bob Dobbs or Bob Nevert, and there's all the Alan stuff we did. We did that, we've talked about this before. You had me in your studio April 14th, 2000. And because with my own megalomania, I knew if I get on Manhattan TV, there's something going to happen. Well, that's the day the dot-com bomb started, the day I got on your TV world.
And then you did the Harold Channer show. How many shows did you do with Harold Channer?
10, and they're all good. And on one of them, I played the Evergreens, and Harold played his videotape of Jane Roberts channeling Seth, that he found in 1971. He didn't know anything about the New Age world. And he stumbles into this place, and a strange woman starts doing her channeling, and he videotaped it because he was one of the early people with a video cam. And so that's a pretty rare footage, and we put that up on the show.
That is the only – Harold Channer has the only video footage of Jane Roberts as herself and channeling Seth. I've never seen any other video footage of Seth except what Harold did.
That's right, and Harold doesn't even understand it. To this day, he doesn't believe in that stuff.
I know. I've done a bunch of shows with Harold, and he says, "Well, we don't know what consciousness is, and there's only, you know, biological life, and we can prove that." Harold doesn't have any clue to the kind of metaphysical realities that really exist out there.
That's what's so funny when you think of that guy got the only footage of Seth, and he doesn't even know what he doesn't understand what he got.
Exactly. It is funny. It is funny. But, you know,
we've gone to Harold's party together. His middle of December Christmas party, annual big party in New York. We've been there many times.
He's still having them. If he keeps his apartment, he'll have them more. So he's doing okay. I'll tell Harold I saw you when the next time I see him down at the television station.
M&M. And say hi to Rick. I think Rick's in management now.
Rick who?
Rick, he has the techno show. Remember Rick?
Rich Spezialis?
Yes, Rich Spezialis. That's...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just talked to him today. Yeah, I'll say hello to Rich for you. And does Ian ever do any television interviews?
No, JW, who has never wanted his privacy exposed, you know, when he was in the Rich situation, which he still is, he doesn't. It was always understood, probably, that no one would ever see JW. But Ion kept talking about these Hollywood productions we were going to do and all this media. And I said, well, how are you going to protect, you know, JW's face? He said, oh, he just put up mirrors and block it. But I think JW, he has to figure out what he's going to do. He said, maybe I'll be public. But he definitely is not going to be public right now. He does not want to be seen.
If I did an interview, we could have him, like, behind, like, a wall or something. We don't have to show his face.
That's right. You could do that. But the point is that as Ion gets bigger, As it becomes what is destined to be, it's going to happen with or without us, JW, we will understand why we will not want to be known. You know, Carol and I are going to have to go invisible at some point.
Well, why? Visible or maybe more visible? I mean, you're sort of invisible right now.
Well, yeah, but there's lots. Carol's one of the most interviewed people in the world. I'm one of the most interviewed people. There's lots of audio and there's lots of video of Carol. There's video of me. We're totally visible. But
why would you want to be invisible?
I don't want people to know where I live. And if they eventually find out where we live, we're going to have to move.
Well, I won't tell them. But you tell everybody where you are right now.
They don't know the address.
We're at the end of this telephone line.
Yeah, and our home where we are is not on the Google Maps. You cannot see it. JW is so powerful, he made sure that would not be registered.
If I ever come to Maui, we'll meet in a neutral place. But
that's right, definitely. Definitely. Anyway. You would not be allowed here, Alan. You would not be allowed here in my home.
Even if I show up at your doorstep, huh? I'll try.
Yes, I would deny it was me.
Okay, and I'm sure it was probably another version of you then.
You're looking for the guy over there, and I said another place.
Yeah, I know, you're very multi-dimensional. There's probably about 10 of you. I'm probably not even talking to the real Bob.
Yeah, you're not talking to the Bob that you knew in Manhattan.
I know, he's been changed by the RNA drops. So people who want to get RNA drops, they go to the rnadrops.info, right?
Or .com, either one. RNA, small letter, drops.com or .info.
Okay, and if people want to find you, Bob, and Caroline, what's your websites?
HowIonic.com.
And they can get all the...
Carol.
Yeah, my site is drcarolindean.com, drcarolindean.com.
And it's also dobstowntalk.com, fivebody.com. Go to the Church of the Subgenius if you want to see a lot of...
Wait, if you want to listen to all the Ion archives, you go where?
HowIonic.com.
Or you go to AchieveRadio.com,
and it's being played, streamed 24/7. It's called Studio B on the front page of AchieveRadio.com. You click it on now, it just goes forever. All 1,000 hours.
AchieveRadio.com plays the ongoing stream of the Ion archives. Okay.
Yeah. And it also has Studio C, has all of my radio work since 1984. That's streaming. You know, that's 1,000 hours or something. They're streaming also. So And also there was one more, and you can email me at ion@howionic.com. And we
How
will
ionic.
As much as possible.
Yeah. How yeah. Ionic, howionic.com. All right. Well,
okay.
Let's do another show maybe next month or something.
Yeah, when the timing's right, we'll do it. When new things have happened to talk about, we have to have some new things experienced. So,
well,
if I hear
from Ion digitally, I'll let you know. Okay.
Right,
and you can also go to 2012rnaradio.com. All kinds of video footage and information about RNA drops and everything is there. 2012rnaradio.com. And Alan will be playing the Ion streaming pretty soon.
Yeah, I have to talk to Virginia about that, but I think I'm set up to do that on my website, so that'll be fun to do.
Yeah. Okay, this is a good time to end. We'll get ready over in our own show. Anybody's listening at BBS, come over to ChiefRadio.com, and here's the third hour.
No, the fourth. We did 3 hours, Alan. Did you realize?
I did realize that, but it just kept getting better and better, maybe.
Thank you.
So come on over for
Thank
the
you.
Fourth
I
hour
to,
and hear great music.
I what? Hope to see you guys sometime soon, and we'll be in touch. Thanks so much.
Okay, Alan. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Aloha.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us on your
Aloha
show.
Aloha to you and all my Hawaiians. Okay, thanks.
B-W-W-A-J-J.
See you soon. Okay. That was Bob Neverett and Carolyn Dean, who are the representatives of the ion transmissions that are really changing the kind of metaphysical landscape out here. And you've been listening to New Realities with Alan Steinfeld. And if you want to reach me, you could go to my website, newrealities.com. Or you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Waking up in the middle of my life, love is what it seems. Feel the fire, come alive. Feel the fire,
come alive.